Welcome to the Pit Ips Podcast, episode number 61, brought to you by the Brainstorm Brewery. I'm your host, Angelo, and I'm back this week, as is every week, with the Sex Panther himself, the Asterisk of all magic, Brother Ryan.
Hey, what up, what up?
I was going to say, you have to say what up, like, it's... Your...
I tried to make like a panther noise there. I don't know if that came through. I gave it my effort, but
dude, it sounded like a drunk Donald Duck.
Did it really? I it sounded like a badass mountain lion, but
man, it sounded like a Donald Duck sneeze. He was like,
I got some work to do.
A little bit. And this week is going to be the first week of many upcoming where. Me and Ryan are going to get to know people from the posse. And what's the best way of doing this, Ryan, except having people from the posse on the show every week?
Exactly.
Our first one that we chose to have is a writer for PitIpsPodcast.com, Ryan Tice. What's up, bro?
Not much, Angelo. How you doing, Ryan?
Fucking pumped you're here. Glad to have you, man. Much posse love. This is family, so glad to talk to you.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine, you guys.
Not a problem, bro. Not a problem. So Ryan, he started last week. He actually put the first real article up on our website, and although I suck at putting websites together and doing all that crap, he's giving me quality content. He actually should have another one coming out tomorrow. So by the time you listen to this, there should be another one up.
First article, very good. Props, Azuri Renegade, whatever that Renegade leader, what's his name? Azuri. And yeah, I love that card. You made me want to play EDH.
I was just going to say, Ryan, you want to tell him exactly what you're writing about?
Yeah, sure. What I'm writing for the posse is every week and a half, 2 weeks, I'm going to be choosing a random legendary creature to use as a commander deck, whether it'll be a dual one-versus-one commander format, just a regular tabletop game, or even something more casual or thematic like my upcoming article I wrote for you guys.
Sweet. Can I give you a challenge?
Yeah.
Visvixdis Asmati.
Is that even English?
Yes, he's one of the Elder Dragons.
Which color pie is he?
I believe Visvictus is, let's see, Sabbath is Jund. He's either Naya or Bant.
All right, if it's Naya, that's like my bread and butter, just big guys. That would be a no problem. Bant's a little trickier to me, but I'll try some.
Okay, cool.
There you go. Is that what EDH, what does EDH stand for? Is that Elder Dragon
Highlander?
There can be only one, sir.
It originally...
See, I had no idea what EDH meant, and then Angelo said Elder Dragon, and it kind of clicked in my head. Yeah. I had no fucking clue that's what it stood for. Really? Elder Dragon Highlander?
Here's why. When the format, and I'm sure Tice could back me up on this, when the format was first created, it was like five players sat down to play. Each person built a deck surrounding one of the Elder Dragons. And only one person could win, right? So, like the show Highlander, you know, there can be only one.
Oh my god, I'm referring to it as Commander from now on.
Yeah, I refer to it as Commander.
Never calling that EDH.
See, when I played all the time, it was EDH, and this is just what everyone referred to it as, was EDH. So I just got used to saying that. So saying Commander is still actually very hard for me. It just doesn't roll off the tongue very well.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, whatever. You call it whatever.
I learn something new every week.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. So, down in South America, Buenos Aires!
Yes, I'm fucking pumped this week to talk about Standard. We got some new things in the works, some new decks popping up, changing the meta around quite a bit. I mean, we've seen it the last couple weeks. We want to go over this top eight real quick first, but I mean, we'll see. We'll go over some of the changes in the meta. I mean, it's I don't know. I think it's a good shakeup we got going on.
Yes. So as Ryan said, we are looking at Standard here. And you know, we have a South American GP here. So just spitballing, guys, can you name one person who probably top eight?
PB. He's on a fucking roll, dude. This is like his last two GPs.
Yeah, and, you know, South American GPs, he typically just always shows up in the top eight. So let's go over this top eight.
Well, he's missed out. Actually, in all fairness, he's missed out on the last two or three.
He has. He actually has. He's paying up far more attention to Bridget at that time.
Yeah, he hasn't been playing. He seems like he's back in it, and this is another top eight at a GP in recent months from him. So, yeah, let's see. I like that.
Saber receivers showing up like a Hall of Famer. So we have Fernando Patriago versus versus Damian Tejo. I'm sorry, I'm not good with Spanish names, people. I'm gonna fucking butcher these.
I can do this.
No. This is my deal, dude. Why are you still in my jam? Like, I'm the one who butchers the names every week. Let me butcher my names.
All right.
So we have Tejo winning at 2-1. It would have been so much cooler if it was Trejo.
Yes. I saw a meme the other day. It was Danny Trejo, and it said Chuck Norris. Never heard of her.
Ooh. Chuck Norris should fuck him up, man.
Probably.
Dude, yeah. I mean, he kills two stones with one bird. I mean, you just got to think of it that way. We have Eduardo Castro versus Jose Echeverria. Okay. Echeverria wins 2-0. We have Mateus Dos Anjos versus...
Anjos.
I was pretty fucking close there.
That's Mateus 2 years. His name literally translates into 2 years, I believe.
Oh, cool. So you have a friend whose last name is Lopez, and that translates to big fish. Anyway. we was at Anjos versus Felipe Monlevade. Did I pronounce that right?
I have no idea. Monlevade? I have no idea.
I'm thinking it would be Vade, because they don't usually hyper accentuate the A's.
Yeah, I don't know.
So 2-1 for Monlevade. And then we have Palovita Damatarosa versus Sebastian Martinez. Palovita Damatarosa wins at 2-0. Yep. Philip Monlevade wins 2-1 versus Paolo Vitor Damatarosa. I love saying that name.
and what the coverage was, it was a great fucking game. It was like fucking Zenigod was huge. I don't know. PV did what he could, but I don't know. It was a good matchup if anyone's interested in looking that one over.
We had Tejo versus, he beat Echeverria.
2-0. Echeverria 2-0, yeah.
Yeah. So then we have Monlevade winning 2-1. So congrats to him for taking this sumbitch down. Perchiliago, he was the number one seed after the Swiss, so that's worth noting. PV actually came in as the 3, so he had a hell of a tournament.
Yep.
And usually when you get there, you're talking about, you know, deciding to take a buy or not take, or deciding to take an intentional draw or not take an intentional draw when you're looking at like 1 through 3. So that's, he probably would have been very close to first place. I didn't watch a lot of this because, as you guys probably know, I was watching the Sealed.
Hey, GP Montreal, we'll get into that. Some good coverage for sure. I didn't watch much of this either. I mean, I read some of the text on this, but Shake Up and Standard, guys. I mean, Mono Black Devotion did top 8. Beecher Gauss was on that. 3 Bile Blights in his list. I think that's 1 too many. I really do. I think in this meta, you want 2 ultimate prices. And 3 Devour Flesh is good too. If anyone's playing that list, you definitely want to up Devour Flesh. Naya Hexproof is a thing, as I'll talk about later. And yeah, I mean, your black-white matchup, you have to shore it up with an extra Devour Flesh. So some changes there.
The big thing I've noticed is it seems like Green-Red Monsters is no longer right. It's go Jund Monsters instead to give yourself some extra removal.
Yeah, well, Jund has that little bit of edge in the mirror over Green-Red. But PV, Esper Control is making a comeback too.
Did it go away? I mean, well, it sort of did, but it didn't. I mean,
no, in recent weeks we've seen blue white, and then the last 2 weeks it seems like Esper's like, okay, blue white, if you're going to be in the format, I'm going to be the control deck that beats you.
I mean, they're all just freaking Sphinx's Revelation decks. I mean, like, the Esper Control that was run in this list was, you know, PV, where basically he was playing blue white with 2 Doomblades, a Thoughtseize, and then some sideboard stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Dark Betrayal. And we've even seen in Haynes' recent GP win, his blue-white, he played the Black Lands just for Dark Betrayal out of the sideboard.
Right.
So, I mean, Esper may be where you want to be if you're running control right now. It's a close call. I think it does have the edge, just the Thoughtseize advantage in the control mirrors. I don't know, pretty big.
It's actually pretty huge. It's bigger than pretty big. It's actually pretty huge. A Thoughtseize is, I mean, when people were trying to win off of the back of like an Elspeth or an Aetherling, and it's like, those are the only real wins. You know, that's the only real way I can win. Bringing in 4 Thoughtseize just kind of ends games, man.
Yeah, I mean, and creatures that can beat, like, Blood Baron, and right. You also got Sim Collector as well, so... But yeah, I mean, black-red control, that we haven't seen since the top eight. I kind of wanted to go over this Sebastian Beltrain's black-red control.
Knock yourself out, homie.
If everyone in the posse knows, I've been brewing lately with black-red. I put out my Master of Cruelties deck a few weeks ago and had some fun with it. And this is kind of almost the same list, minus Master of Cruelties, obviously. so it lands a note. He is running the four Mutavolts and a two-color deck. That's, you know, it's kind of ballsy.
Why a four Mutavolt and a two-color deck's ballsy? That's SOP, brother. That's standard operating procedure there.
You usually see two or three, dude.
A two-color deck?
Yeah, even the green-red monsters deck, they don't run four.
Well, they don't need to run four.
They don't.
That's a different story. They're playing, they have a different game plan.
In
a two-color control list, it's four Mutavolt. Look at blue-white.
Sure, that's fair, but I don't know. Look at when we go over later the burn Boros burn list that tore up the SCG open. Only three.
That's an aggro deck, though. That's different.
Yeah, but I mean, aggro sucks against control in a lot of instances. Mutavolt's really good there. It's a deck you may want to consider four of. I see your point for sure. But okay, so black red, 10 creatures, 4 demons, 4 desecration demons, 4 lightbane zombies, and 2 stormbreath dragon. Okay, yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Seems right.
23 spells, 3 Anger of the Gods, 2 Bioblight, 3 Dreadbore, 1 Hero's Downfall. Okay, 1 Hero's Downfall, 3 Dreadbores. I don't know, Angelo, how you feel on that. Two Mizzium Mortars, 2 Rakdos Key Rune, 2 Rakdos Return, 1 Ratchet Bomb, 2 Read the Bones, 4 Thoughtseize, and 1 Whip of Erebos. And he's also got 2 Planeswalkers and Chandra Pyromaster.
Well, when you ask me, you know, how I feel about Dreadbore over Hero's Downfall, the 2 mana, I mean, he's running 4 Mutavolts. He has 21 colored sources. 2 of them come into play tapped. So that's really 19 that he can depend on the turn he needs them. But, you know, sorcery over instant, for an extra mana, I'd rather just run the instant. However, looking at his list, he's running 5 mountains, so those do not help.
I think I ran a 2-2 split of those.
I would like a 2-2 myself.
2 Bioblights is perfect. I think that's where you want to be. That card is really, it's not as, it was really hyped up, and it's proven not to be all that. I mean, it really hasn't. It really hasn't proven to be all that, like.
Which is strange to me because, I mean, mono blue's still a thing and it still kills most of that deck.
Yeah, I mean, it is really good there. I mean,
why I thought it was going to be good because
a lot of the mono black and black white control decks that have been popping up online run 2 and run another 1 or 2 out of the sideboard. And they also have, for mono blue, you bring in Drown in Sorrow anyways. And that gets rid of like everything also. So,
right.
His sideboard is 2 Dark Betrayals, 2 Doom Blades, 2 Duress, 1 Erebos, 2 Guild. Okay.
I like those guilds.
Yeah, that is a good way to deal with the gods, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the black doesn't really have any other answers to it. And I don't know what red would give him access to as far as, cause you can't destroy the gods. And that's what red gives you. Destroy enchantment, but
I mean,
yeah.
I've played Guild in Limited, and it's always been far better than I expected it to be. And that one mana that you get,
that could be huge.
It really has played out to be a lot better than I originally suspected.
Dude, that could be huge to cast your Storm Breath on time.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. I saw it. Someone played it. I saw it on coverage somewhere this weekend, and it was pretty impressive, actually. I was like, huh. But, I mean, it is a 4-mana sorcery. But, hey, if green-red is around and Jund monsters, you've got to get rid of – I mean, you got to get rid of Zinnegod.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. And Detention Spheres, of course, or anything. But 1 Mizzium Mortar, 1 Pithing Needle. Okay, I always like 1 needle. 1 Sire of Insanity. That's fucking sick. 2 Slaughter Games and 1 Whip of Erebos. Now, I've heard people say friends don't let friends play Slaughter Games, but I don't know. I think it's decent in this deck.
I personally love Slaughter Games if you can get it out early. Target, yeah, like a key component of their deck.
Are you on the play?
I'm sorry?
I think it comes down to if you're on the play.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, I can't see it being that good right now on the draw.
No, but Sire of Insanity, that's a card, dude. I love the one of Sire Tech. Go ahead and run Sphinx's Revelation. yeah. That was actually Sire of Insanity popped up at my FNM this last week and was fucking just a house, dude. Just destroyed a blue-white deck. Yeah, really, really good. It's this deck's like Rurik Thar, I guess, but better.
Do you have Sire in your Rakdos deck?
I don't know if I ran one out of the board or not. I can't remember. I'd have to pull that up and look. So I haven't played that in several weeks. So
that's actually a pretty good card to reach for off of a guild.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, he's got Rakdos Key Runes as well. So helping out his mana and Rakdos Key Rune. I'm telling you, I played two of them in my black red list. It's a really good card. 3-1 first striker cannot be overstated. It's good. It is underplayed. I really like this deck, so I wanted to give it its due. Obviously the deck that took it down, I think you already mentioned was, am I correct? Mon Levady won this.
Yes.
Jund Monsters. That seems where you want to be. I mean, you can go ahead and splash the black off your green red, and it does
give you some very good options. I mean, it gives you Vraska, who we've said forever has been like way underplayed. And it does give you, you know, Reaper of the Wilds, which, if you get to five mana, that card's pretty good.
Vraska won him a game, actually. Again, allowed him to beat PV. He got rid of the Detention Sphere, brought back his Zenigod, and was able to swing.
Yeah, it also gives you the option to go with some Doomblades. You know, you get Golgari Charm all of a sudden, which is actually pretty important.
You get Abrupt Decay if you really want it.
Yeah, I mean, Rakdos Return. I mean, he has it in a sideboard. He actually has Sire of Insanity in his sideboard as well, Ryan.
Yeah.
Some ultimate price. I mean, there's like a lot of tools, you know, but it's Jund. That's what Jund does. Jund just has the tools.
I like this deck a lot, and I'm still not sold on Reaper Wilds, and I'm glad to see they cut it down to two. This deck in recent weeks has been a four of no questions asked, but
it's a flat card, but this deck's really congested with four drops.
Yeah.
It's the one Rampager kind of makes me sad.
Yeah. In my testing, it was never really that impressive. It could not matter the turn it comes down against green red.
Well, the thing is, it's a five drop realistically because you want to have that black mana up after you cast it to at least give it death touch. Six drop optimally. Well, the thing is, like, what are you going to play at five? Are you going to play your Stormbreath Dragon or are you going to play a Reaper of the Wilds? I'm going to play the Stormbreath Dragon.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you going to play a Pelucranos or are you going to play Reaper of the Wilds? I'm playing Pelucranos.
Yeah, I'm glad to see that cut down to two. I think that's a good call.
I still think Xenagos is low. I still think that needs to be a two of.
And online, the standard dailies where this deck pops up and the green red monsters pops up, Zenigod usually is a two of. So.
Yeah. It seems like mono blue's still good, bro. We were wrong about
it's
that.
It's still good. It is still a deck. I mean, it can just get out and it's really fast and actually, dude, I've played against it more recently than I ever have for some reason, and a really annoying card in this format that kind of just flies under the radar and has popped up a bunch in Pro Tour Top 8s lately is Judge's Familiar.
Yeah, Judge's Familiar is good.
Ability to sacrifice and slow you down a turn.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's really annoying.
This isn't the first time they've put that ability on a card. Trust me, I know all about that ability.
And it kind of flies under the radar. It's kind of overlooked. Like, I don't know. I just don't like Cloudfin Raptor at all. I think that card is so bad. If you draw Cloudfin Raptor outside of your opening hand, it's just terrible. Like, I'd almost wish I do think this deck has another spell it could slot in for that. I've never been... Like, I've been beat down by this deck, but never really by Cloudfin Raptor. It's weird. Like, Frostborn weird, yeah, brings the beats, the
well,
specters.
Well, you typically run mono black, so you have the answers to that card. Where a lot of decks, you know, a 0-1 flyer on turn one, you know, after a couple turns, that thing becomes a problem because they don't have nothing in the air.
Yeah, but draw it late game, and it really doesn't...
Late game is fucking bad. I'm not going to deny that, but, you know, at a lot of games... Getting to the late game with this deck is just bad for you anyway.
You're lucky to evolve it twice. If you can evolve it three times, that's the nuts. Yeah. But
it's worth bringing up Mateus Don Anjos. He added a Prognostic Sphinx to his mono blue list. I wonder how well this did for him.
I personally love that card.
So do I.
Prognostic Sphinx is so good. I'm actually brewing blue-white control right now, and I actually am putting two of them in.
I really
like that much, dude. Huey Jensen said it was the best card in blue-white control of a few months back, and no one's played it.
And I don't understand that. Just the ability to be able to look at three cards off the top of your deck every time it's
control deck. Yeah, it's huge, man. Prognostic Sphinx is fucking awesome, dude. So.
Yep.
And the thing is, it blocks a big bane to that deck and to control decks is Blood Baron and Stormbreath Dragon, and it blocks both of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
the fact that you can protect them, you know, like, I can see them better in a blue-white, to be real honest, because you have things like Sphinx's Revelation, where pitching a card's not that big of a deal because you have Sphinx's Revelation to back it up.
Get it set up. At the beginning of the format, when the card first came out, when I was running blue-white control, I ran a one of the Sphinx, and you can set up your Sphinx's Revelations. They're much more valuable when you scry three in advance. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hmm. So, let's see here. What did they say the top five cards were for this tournament? I don't know why I've all of a sudden become in love with doing this. So, we have number five was Brimez.
Okay. We didn't really go over any of the control decks, but I'm sure this was in the sideboard of those.
Probably. Yeah. We have Dreadbort, number four. I suppose, I mean, I guess, you know what, they bring up the idea that it kills a pack rat if you have it on turn two and you're playing on the play, so I guess it's good there.
Soda's Bio Blight though, and so many other things too.
Yeah. Number three was Detention Sphere because it says Yo Dog. It actually says Yo Dog. we have a tie for third. It was fucking a bunch of them. They just marked three for all of them. Okay. Number two was Master of Waves. And number one was Polukranos. They all say three, but, if you keep looking, you'll see that, like, it's Wizards typing.
It's Wizards. I get it. Yeah.
I mean, it's Wizards typing team. You have to expect things to just go badly.
So, some shakeups there. I did also want to mention, I guess we'll talk about it when we go over SCG. There is in the top 16 a Bros Fern list and a Golgari Dredge list. I fucking love this Dredge list.
Oh, me too.
Ryan, you want to go over this? Do you see it up the top?
Yeah, Matthias Chilpericos.
This deck is sick, dude.
Yeah, I'll personally. For the lands, we have just 8 forests, the Golgari Gate, 4 Overgrowns, and 7 Swamps. The creature package is...
Wait. Did you just say only 20 lands? That's right up my alley.
Yeah, man, this is Dredge. Lands are a liability, pretty much.
Yeah.
The creature package is where it's really interesting. We got 2 Death Rites, 3 Elvish Mystics, 3 Herald of Torments, which is just an amazing card.
Yeah, it's really good.
2 of Jerahd, Golgari Lich Lord, for just ending the game when he's out on the field.
Yeah.
4 Lotleths, 4 Nemesis.
Criminally underplayed card, by the way. Lotleth Troll's so good, dude.
I agree. Especially since you're dredging, and it really helps for the next card. Actually, the next 8 cards.
Yeah.
4 ofs of Nemesis of Mortals and 4 Night Howlers.
Limited all-star Nemesis of Mortals there, Angelo.
Yeah.
you gotta be able to cast that for like 2 mana.
In this deck I would guarantee it. And that Monstrous, you could probably, if it goes late game enough, drop it and Monstrous it in one turn.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, Conley Woods ran a Nemesis Immortals in a deck similar to this a month or two ago, and it was doing that all the time. It was pretty sweet. I like that. 4 Night Howlers, that card's really good, and that's a card that, I don't know, it hasn't really had a time to shine, and I don't know, I think it's a good card. It just hasn't really found a home. I mean, it fits in Mono Black, but not really.
It doesn't really fit Mono Black's playing, to be honest, in my eyes.
Yeah, it really doesn't. Lifebane Zombie is where you're at right now with the 3-drop slot creature-wise. What else is he running here?
He's, to help fuel that graveyard to get those guys big, he's running 4 Satyr Wayfinders, which is mulch on a stick.
Oh, yeah, okay. When it enters top four cards, put a land in your hand and the rest in your graveyard. Yep. Yeah, you're not going to hit dirt any lands. Yeah.
He's running two Shadowborn Demons, which I find awesome.
Yeah, that, and you're going to have six dudes in your graveyard.
Yeah, this is always a safe play with this deck.
I think I'm going to play this week, dude. I might put this together. This is really fun.
Yeah, I would too if I played standard. And to top off the creatures, just three Sylvan Caryatids. Strong, safe body, mana rock, always good.
Yep.
What's he got spells?
He's, to help with, filling up the grave, he's running three Commune with the Gods, where he looks at the top five and grabs a creature enchantment, shelves the rest, and four Grizzly Savages, same concept, alongside two Ultimate Prices.
Huh. And I wonder about Ultimate Price over Abrupt Decay here, but that, yeah, I mean, the big green red
that fatty. Kills a Polukranos pretty good, and it kills, yeah.
What's your problems for this deck, for sure.
Yep.
And in his board, he's running three Golgari Charms, great against control, great against creatures, tokens from Master Waves, three Lifebanes, good against green-red monsters, Naya, Selesnya Aggro, if it's still around.
Yep.
The four of Mistcutters, because Mistcutter's just great.
Yes, Angelo will tell you all about it.
Yes, I will, because, you know, it was a terrible card. Nobody ever played frickin' the other card that's sort of like this, but is absolutely nothing like this. So this will never see any play, but, yeah, it is. Every week, we talk, this card is named. Why? Because Mono Blue's a thing, and this card is.
Hey, I ran four Skylashers in my board this week, by the way.
So there you go. There you go.
But I was on Hexproof, so it's kind of different. You get a
yeah, but you still was wrong, and I was right, so we'll just move on from there.
And just to top off the board, we have two Shadowborn Demons in the board, two Thought Seizes for that hand disruption, and to help in races, one Whip of Erebos.
Pretty sick. I love the additional two Shadowborns there. Man, I would make room for a Desecration Demon or two in here, and I think this is good to go. This is pretty sick. That's a new deck there that's popped up, and this Boros Burn list is pretty sweet also, but we'll go into that. We'll have plenty of time to talk Boros Burn. I know Angelo wants to get on to this next event here.
I do. Before we move on, I do have one thing to say. This was the largest South American GP ever with 884 players.
Hey, way to go, South America. Fuck yeah, dude.
884. Oh, wow. Am I wrong in thinking that's really low? I mean, it's cool that it's still their record, but man,
Dude, that's a big tournament. I haven't won a tournament with that many players.
No. I'm not saying that, you know, to diminish it. It's just, I've gotten so used to saying, you know, typically in a GP, most of the GPs that we cover, we're looking at 1800. You know, an Australian one, we figure on about 1,000.
Yeah, and Montreal had 1,600, just over 1,600, and for a sealed GP, I mean,
which isn't good for a sealed GP, actually.
Back
over the last couple of years, sealed GPs have been 2,000 plus almost every time.
This was in Canada, too.
It was, and that's the thing with South America, fucking customs getting in and out of those countries is so tough down there.
I was pretty impressed with the numbers for South America. They are on the come up, and they got some, they got quality gamers down there, so.
Oh yeah. So Montreal up in the Canadian North, in the bitter colds, they was cracking packs, playing limited Magic, and it was fucking great! And I spent my whole weekend watching it. Why? Because I'm an idiot and I love fucking limited Magic.
I'll tell you why I spent most of the weekend watching it, because, I don't know, can I spoil it?
No, not you. So here is the way the bracket broke down. We have Daniel Fournier versus Morgan Chang.
Fournier,
yeah. Isn't that what I said?
Yeah, and he's a Pro Tour winner, I believe, isn't he? Something like that.
I believe so. He's at least top eight. I'll check that later. So we have Fournier winning that 2-1. We have Dave Shields versus Brock Parker. Dave Shields wins that 2-0. Brock Parker has been putting up good numbers at GPs recently. Like, you know, a bunch of top 64s, and he just could not break the top eight, so he finally did there. Congratulations to him.
And although, Dave Shields is a Pro Tour winner,
yes,
correct?
Dave Shields, yes. And then we had Benjamin Gomes versus Gerard Fabiano, and Gerard Fabiano wins that 2-0. Which, like, you know, yeah, he was beating everyone that quick. Cause the thing is, like, when you kill one Celestial Archon while playing limited, you feel pretty good about yourself. And I'm like, I got this. And then when he plays the second one, you're like, fuck! Yes.
Follow that up in Ornithark. Yeah.
Two of them.
Benjamin Gomes, though, a younger dude on the come up, he has lost his, like, the last two GPs apparently he went to before this, he lost his winning in for the top eight.
Yeah.
Third time's a charm. Way to go, Ben. So.
Yeah. We had Ian Robertson versus Judah Ault, and Robertson wins at 2-1. We have G-Fabs winning 2-0 over Ian Robertson, and we have Dave Shields over Daniel Fournier. And I have to say that this was a classic, and I mean classic slow roll to win this. All right, game two, very end. I mean, he's had him on. Shields has had Fournier on one for like 7 turns. Just cannot get that last damage in. It doesn't look like he really has much of a way of doing it. He does have an Aquaeus form in his deck, and he has an Acolyte's Reward. Okay. So he draws his card. He only has like 10 cards left in his deck. So you know, the answer's coming. It has to be. He grabs his card and he sets it down. And, you know, he did the same thing that he had been doing for 2 or 3 turns. He's rubbing his eyes, shaking his head, burying his face into his hand. And, 48 goes, all right, cause he's at one. He goes, he uses the Shipwrecked Singer's ability of making something attack. And as soon as he does that, he goes, all right, this attacks. So he attacks, and that tapped Fournier out to use that ability. Fournier thought, you know, I'm just going to block this next turn. I can crack back and win this game, literally. And then he throws out the Acolyte's Reward for one, dude.
Card was a blowout all weekend, actually. It showed up a lot. A lot of people were afraid to draft White early on. I think the word got out that, hey, White's really good.
Yeah.
And so people weren't drafting it until this top eight, and...
Well, some people were.
Well, boy, were Dave Shields and Fabiano wide open for the White.
Oh yeah, they took
this
them.
This finals matchup was, if you went, you could have gone and smoked a cigarette and missed it. I mean, it did last a little longer than expected, but,
Judah Ault, he was on red as well, or he was on red white, so, I mean, there was a lot of white as far as the top eight goes. Like, white is the deepest color in this format. Even bad cards are typically pretty good. So then we have G-Fabs winning 2-1 over Dave Shields. Why? Because he has 2 Celestial Archons, damn it.
He also has that Ornithark.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. His actually, for a white deck, his curve was very high. But the power to reward ratio in his deck was just unreal. It's like, if I get the 5 land, really there ain't much that's gonna beat me.
Well, really all that seemed to matter was in his deck was the Ordeal of Heliod, and is the same could be said for Dave Shields. They've won a lot of matches on the back of that. Ordeals were like huge this weekend. I mean, it seemed like every time an ordeal landed, that was it. Like,
yeah, a lot of problems were created by ordeals this weekend, which I find weird because, like, people just were not running enchantment removal nearly as much as we've seen in past, you know, in the past sealed events.
Yeah. Well, Fabiano ran a one of Dawn to Dust.
Yeah, that's not even a good one either. It's kind of weird. Like, but you just don't see as much of it. It just.
Yeah, he also ran a Ray of Dissolution, so.
Yeah, he actually ran, I mean, 2's about right. That's a fair amount. You know, when Theros was around and it was just Theros and the Bestow creatures were so much better, like, it was nothing to run 3 or 4 of those in a deck. And now they'll end up stuck in your hand if you do that. And yeah. I think that's really opened the door for the ordeals to come in and go, you know what, I'm going to start kicking some ass with some ordeals. They've actually become a little bit better because people have backed off a little bit of the enchantment removal. Right. Very, very strange change in the meta.
Big, big fan of Fabiano's deck. Hammer, Fall of the Hammer, really good card. There was in the finals like a 10-minute judge call, and I think that Gerard, our boy, Posse Pro Extraordinaire, I've been on the show before, great guy. I think he got the wrong end of it, because I swear when he played Fall of the Hammer, you could hear it plain as day on audio that Shields gives his plays his God's willing.
God's willing. And
throw red. Well, the thing is, Fabiano's creature that he targeted with Fall of the Hammer was white. And it's that creature that's dealing damage. They didn't I don't know, they didn't go back or ask him what he gave it protection from. They just, the spell fizzled, I guess, and Fabiano was on the losing end of it. Like, I thought he got kind of shafted there on what seemed like a really easy judge call. I mean, it's not your target.
Right. Here's the thing, though. I mean, when you read Follow the Hammer, and, like, I was sitting there watching it, and I'm like, this is how this works out. Because it doesn't matter what color you name, the spell's going to fizzle there. Why? Because of what Fall of the Hammer distinctively says. Target creature you control deals damage equal to its power to another target creature. Okay, so that means there's two targets when you cast this spell. The second you make it so, oh crap, you can't target this, the spell fizzles upon resolution.
Oh, I see, because it says the word target is used twice.
It's right.
So naming Pro Red didn't matter because, or it worked out because the hammer also targets that creature.
Right. Although the creature is what deals the damage, the spell itself actually targets two things. So both things have to be there upon resolution for it to actually happen.
Okay. Well, me and Gerard were both obviously confused by that one, so.
Well, I mean, it wasn't Gerard that was actually, you know, wondering about it. It was more along the lines of the other one because up on Shields? Yeah.
Well,
because
he's the one that appealed, I believe, Fabiano did. Cause Shields,
I thought it was the other way around.
No, Shields named Pro Red, and then Fabiano was like, more or less like, well, my creature's white. And it's like, I read the spell Fall of the Hammer in like two parts almost. Like, you target your own creature, and then that creature, since it's dealing the damage, but I guess since the hammer also says...
No, the hammer actually targets two separate instances. So it doesn't matter what color he would have named. I mean, it does in the fact that he has other spells on the stack that were white. And it was a response to him casting a spell that was white, the Mortal's Armor.
Oh, yeah, because his
+1/+1 lifelink. Right. He wanted that to resolve and actually happen. So if he names white, then, you know, that's not going to work right. So when he named red,
yeah,
that's where the confusion happened.
Yeah, it was on the Battlewise hoplite.
Yeah. Okay. Got that?
Yeah.
Okay. Really cool tournament. Good top eight. Alexander Hain was probably handed the luckiest deck I've ever seen. He was given a turn or a second pick, Disciple of Phoenix, and he jumped right in. This was earlier, in day two. He just jumps in. He's like, fuck it. Or not Disciple of Phoenix, an actual Phoenix. He's like, well, you know, if I'm getting this second pick, you know, and there's one uncommon gone, which you have to assume is probably Ornithark. He goes, okay, so this is open for two packs. I know I'm going to get blue-black for two packs. And he did. He was rewarded. His deck was fucking insane for those three games. I mean, he had Shipwright Singers. He had fucking the, what the hell is that card called that makes people discard shit when it untaps?
Siren of the Silent Song or something?
Yeah, Siren of the Silent Song. Yeah, multiples of those. Multiples of Shipwreck Singer. Blue-Black actually showed up where a lot of people were probably writing that off as, you know, not a great choice in this meta. It's actually still pretty damn good. The thing is, it still is backed up by the same things I'd said before. You need Shipwright Singers, and now you need Sirens as well. Like, Shipwright Singer and a Siren.
Siren of the Silent Song paired with, like, an Oracle's Insight. Oracle's Insight was huge this weekend, too. I mean, that black-blue deck just gets so far ahead in cards. They're discarding. You're drawing extra cards. Like, the blue-black deck, I thought, made a big comeback in Limited this weekend. It kind of fell off the last couple Limited events we went over.
Well, a lot of people just felt that because red-white and the heroic got so fast, and because most of it was in the air, like, black didn't really have the answers to that, and you don't want to fight for this deck because you're only going to get so much Shipwright Singers, you know, so this is not something you can really afford to fight for.
Yeah, and it's hard to get Voyages in. And
right, these are cards that everybody's going to take, so you almost have to be almost handed it, but if you're the one person at the table that wants it, those blue-black cards, like Siren of the Silent Song, like Shipwright Singer, dude, they're going to come to you because if you're not in those colors, you're just passing them cards and moving on.
Yeah.
That's a big backbone to said deck. Great tournament. I enjoyed watching it very much so. Their top five cards, a Crow and Skyguard. Why? Because it's a Wingsteed Rider on turn two.
Yes.
Asphyxiate, because it kills everything. pretty much. 3, Phoenix.
Yeah.
Okay. 2, God's Willing. And 1, Celestial Archon, because we talked about that earlier. Yeah, Gerard, yeah. Congrats, Gerard. Very happy for you. He was actually the first guest we ever had on the Pit Imps way back on episode, I believe, 10. So that was cool. That was when he was trying to be on King of the Nerds.
Yeah, long time ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago. So that is JP Montreal. Ryan. Yeah,
shout out to some other KYT of the A-Team. I think he top 16. Yes. Shout out to our boy, Harry Corvesi, 13th place.
Yes. Kenji Igarashi, Numont the Nummy, who anybody who watches streams knows him.
Lost his winning into Ben Gomes, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was right there all day. He played great magic. Damn it.
So I know the community was there doing their drunk train thing and everything like that. And it was good to see, the community of, you know, and podcasters and stuff so, represented here in the top 16. That was pretty cool. Like, and just fighting, I usually hate this format and always bitch about it. I actually enjoyed watching this weekend. I thought coverage did a great job. I thought they made it exciting, and there were so many, like, winning ends, like, just people hanging on, like, the guy that went, like, 13-0 and then drew his last two rounds was still, like, holding on, like, I mean, it was so tight, the margin of error to get into the top 8 for this, so, I don't know, it was a lot, it was fun, so.
Yeah, they really worked out to be, like, in the last few rounds, like, almost everybody had to play because there were so many 8-2s.
Yeah.
That a lot of people who normally, in a, you know, there was just that right number where if they had a little bit more, they would have been able to just draw in, you know, and go X21 and get in, or, you know, it forced everybody to play those last rounds, and that's always a good thing. So another high level of play area for Magic is Seattle, and SCG decided to take their train up there. And they rocked some Standard on Saturday, some Legacy on Sunday, as they always do. And we had Marcus Thibault versus James Gardner. Thibault wins. Ryan, you see this? A 1 seed, won at an SCG. He won it his first round.
That's new.
Yeah, that doesn't happen usually. We had Neil Hartman versus Jackson Norton. Neil Hartman wins 2-1. We had Mitch Junker versus Robin Schmidt, and Mitch Junker wins that. And Harrison Height beats Devon Hammond. Seems too many foreign languages. Height wins at 2-1. Height wins against Junker 2-0. Neil Hartman beats Thibault 2-1 or 2-0. I'm sorry. And Neil Hartman ends up winning this thing. Ryan, what was these folks running?
Real fun list. So Neil Hartman takes it down with Red White Burn. Very interesting. We have Black White Mid Range in second and third. White Black Humans in fourth. Okay, that should be.
Haven't seen that in a while.
Mono Black in fifth. Mono Black Aggro in sixth. That's another list to touch on. Mono Black Devotion again in seventh, and Blue White Devotion in eighth. I kind of mentioned the Blue White deck last week that they're slashing for Detention Sphere now. That's basically all.
It's mono with detention.
They're playing one or two Afara, God of the Polis. She's pretty decent, but the Detention Sphere is really the fact that deck can run that card now is what matters. Also of note, in 10th place, Naya Hexproof. That's pretty fucking cool. So considering I got my ass kicked playing it this weekend, but whatever.
Mono Black, you ain't played this deck for the last year. So
yeah, that's true. So this Red-White Burn list, it finished 15th, I want to say, a week or two ago at an SCG event, and it's the same exact list that finished 15th from a week or so ago. It's
we talked about this.
Did we have finished 15th?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there was a couple changes, like in the sideboard mainly.
This is sweet, though. Yeah, 4 Astel, 4 Reckoners, 4 Phoenix, 2 Dragons, 2 Chandras, 3 Chained, 4 Boros Charms, 4 Strikes, 4 Jets, 3 Searing Bloods, and 2 Helixes. That's lean and mean, man. I almost like there's another version, the GP we just went over in South America. There was a top 16 red white burn list that I mentioned, only that is much more heavy on the spells. And if you guys are interested, take a look. There is 4 of these red white burn lists in the top 16 of this SEG event. 2 of them are like this, and there's some differences. Some run upwards of 29 spells. They're running main deck Skullcracks, Shock, you know, just more burn, I guess, and cutting out the Boros Reckoners, basically.
His sideboard is very, very different.
Yeah, it's weird. Four Fire Drink Crusaders because Control hates it.
Yeah.
Two Spark Troopers. Okay.
All right. Get you some life. It's trample. Why not?
And it can kill the Desecration Demon if you absolutely have to play it in that.
I mean, it's a hasty creature. You gain some life off of it. In a race, it's very good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know what it's really good though with against control. If you do happen to keep your Boros charms in, go ahead and swing for 12.
Yeah, why not?
Seems good.
Gage.
One Chain to the Rocks, two Faded Conflagrations. Okay.
That's different.
That's a Tice card right there, isn't it?
That, no way ever. I find that card abysmal.
You know what? In GP Montreal, Kenji Igarashi in one of his drafts, he first picked this and then had one passed to him. So he second picked it as well.
It's pretty, I mean, it seemed decent. This deck really struggles with Planeswalkers, man. And I guess that's its answer. I mean, if you can't Stormbreath Dragon their Planeswalker or, you know, you're going to take two or three turns to kill any Planeswalker with a Phoenix. It's just not, I don't know.
I can't believe it's seeing constructed play. Like, I can see it in limited and constructed. I'm shocked that it's seeing play.
Yeah. He brought it in and it worked for him at one point on camera. I don't know, dude. It's there for a reason, I guess. It seemed to pop up in all the lists. Four Skullcrack and two Mizzium Mortars. Mizzium Mortars, I would maybe go 3-1 with Faded on that. Mizzium Mortars is just really, really good.
Yeah.
So many cards this deck hates, namely opposing Stormbreath Dragons and Blood Barons.
Tell you, she was going to say something earlier and Ryan cut you off. Go right ahead, bro.
Just on the Faded Conflagration or whatever it is saying to tack down a Planeswalker. I would rather be using something cheaper, like a Boros Charm or something like that, because four is basically going to take down most Planeswalkers running aside like Elspeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of the time. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
And it seemed to be, I mean, this deck has popped up on Modo, and this is pretty much a transfer from that. The sideboard for the 16th place list is like the same, except he's running one main deck, Pyre Wild Shaman. That's some pretty sweet tech, I think.
Eh. Honestly, I would take both of those Faded out and add in the board another Mortars and another War Leader's Helix.
Yeah, War Leader's Helix is really good too. I like that card. The 15th place list ran 4 Ash Zealot, 4 Phoenix, and 29 spells. That's kind of the different version. I like that version a little bit better myself just because it's more aimed at the burn spells and having each thing kind of do damage to the opponent, you know, not relying on the creatures, putting the creatures kind of in the board. Running Viacino First Blade. Okay, that's pretty good, I guess.
If I had to pick one, I would probably go with the 16th place one out of the red-white list. And that's only because I selfishly want to be right about something. Like, a while back I said Pyrewild Shaman was very standard playable, and it's only popped up a couple times.
Good, man. That 3-1 in this deck, that's a lot of damage, dude.
That's very relevant.
It's piling it on fast. I mean, yeah, I like it as a one of. I don't think it's that bad. He obviously likes it enough to run it, and props to him for doing that. I like the more spell heavy version of this list. I'm glad to see a new player in the format. Kind of this popped up in a big way, you know, four of them in top 16, and it's different. It's not like the red white devotion list really, or some of the big Boros we've been seeing, like, I don't know, this is fun. Like, I don't know, I like seeing this. I like that we got something new to kind of look at. So,
anytime there's a burn deck, it's just adapt and overcome, and there'll be small changes to a lot of the decks, and this deck will probably fall off. Most burn decks are good for about 2 weeks before people figure out how to beat them.
Yeah, and to be fair, he really luck-sacked to take this down and got like some just god draws, and it was. I mean, he did kind of luck out in against his black-white mid-range opponent in the finals, but yeah, I mean, this, otherwise, the top eight kind of looks like the same, except this white-black humans list, I don't know.
And I want to go over this mono-black aggro, because I've been talking about this on the cast recently, but I haven't had no lists in front of me. So I think I probably should go over it. What he's running is...
I shipped you this list. This has been popping up on...
Oh, Modo. I know. It's been on Modo for a while. It showed up, and it almost won a PTQ. The only reason it didn't was because... we lost Ryan.
Uh-oh.
Okay. We lost Tice. I don't know if he'll come back or not. The only reason it showed up, it's been doing okay, but it hasn't really, you know, cracked the level yet. So what it is it's 3 Lifebane Zombies, 2 Mogus Marauder, 4 Packrat, 3 Painseer, 4 Rakdos Cackler, 4 Tormented Hero, and 4 Herald of Torment. Spells, 3 Bowblight, 4 Heroes Downfall, 1 Ultimate Price, and 4 Thoughtseize. This is where your Painseer is, it works, man. Most of the lists I've seen have actually been running, the white black card that puts things in the air and gives it lifelink. I'm shocked to not see that in here.
Gift of War Zoba, it's really good. Gift of War Zoba against the monsters list. It is, it's also good against opposing aggro decks. I mean, this deck can't run Unflinching Courage, so against other aggro decks, it's good. His spell package is a bit different. This mono black aggro deck's usually been 4 Downfall, 4 Thoughtseize, and a number of like Ultimate Price, more along those lines. The 3 Bile Blights, like, yeah, like online, we've just been seeing the 4 Thoughtseize, 4 Downfall, 3 Ultimate Price kind of thing. But I don't know, I guess he likes Bile Blight enough. I think it, Bile Blight, he may have looked at that more often than not in his hand and wished it was something else. It's just my opinion. Naya Hexproof was everywhere this weekend.
Yeah, I would have liked to see some gifts, because it really, the Herald of Torment and the Painseer causes you a lot of damage, and that lifelink is relevant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's see here. We also have, Black White Humans, which we should real quickly go over.
Yeah, this is a sweet.
See, if you'd have let the man talk, he would have stayed on here. What the hell, Ryan?
Tice, you back?
No, he's completely disappeared.
What's he not on Skype?
No, he's not even on Skype now. I don't know what's going on. His whole computer must have crashed or something. So we have White Black Humans, 2 Banisher Priests, 4 Boros Elite, 3 Daring Skyjack, 3 Imposing Sovereign, 4 Painseer, 4 Soldier to Pantheon, 4 Tormented Hero, 3 Zathrid Necromancer, 4 Thoughtseize, 2 Spear, 2 Ultimate Price, 3 Orzhov Charm, 3 Moogle Vault is Land of Choice.
This deck is sweet.
We've been over things like this. The new edition is really Painseer.
Well, in the new edition, I don't believe these decks were relying so heavily on like Daring Skyjack Boros Elite.
Well, I know the red-white ones were. I don't think black-white really was.
Yeah. This Zathrin Necromancer was really good this week, and this deck was impressive on camera, and it seemed like it had a lot of play, like, and Imposing Sovereign is, that, if this deck is on the play and gets out an Imposing Sovereign against monsters, it's a tough day for monsters, like.
Yeah. They're not really getting started until turn 3 at best.
That card was, Imposing Sovereign was really good this week, and Orzhov Charm, really good right now. You know, one of those no questions asked removal spells.
Yeah, no questions asked. That was that portion of the event. That's our standard.
I was surprised Naya Hexproof didn't break the top 8. It started off 2 players at like 13-0 on it, and it fell at 10th. But that's another fun deck, I guess, that's kind of popping up. But we went over it already, I believe, the other week, so.
Yeah. Tice, you back?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Hey, shit happens sometimes. Hey! Computers get broken all the time.
It wasn't so much that as the power button on this one is a hair trigger.
I was wondering, I'm like, he just disappeared. I'm like, God damn you, Ryan, you should let him talk more.
sorry.
But that's okay. You made it back just in time for the best part.
Go ahead, talk to him for a minute because I have to go make my drink. I'm out of vodka.
Fair enough. You made it back for the best part. Ryan doesn't want to talk about this anyway. Me and you were going to talk Legacy, bro.
All right. Let me just bring up that top 8.
Sure. I'll go over the bracket real fast. We have David Bauman versus Russell Martin. David Bauman wins 2-0. We have Spencer Stanslund versus Robert Hunsucker. Hunsucker wins 2-0. We have Cody Lingelbach versus, I probably pronounced that wrong, versus Adam Ruprecht. And Ruprecht wins 2-1. Greg Mitchell versus Brent Trout. Mitchell wins 2-0. Mitchell over Ruprecht. 2-0. David Bauman 2-0 over Hunsucker. And Greg Mitchell wins this thing. Whew, now I get to go over Legacy lists.
Alright.
I do love me some Legacy. So, the winning deck was Bug Delver. Nothing really new there. It's something that it's kind of become one of the standards of the format, unfortunately. Death and Taxes in second place, that's kind of strange. This is usually the deck that gets you to the top eight.
But hey, Death and Taxes.
Yeah, it's the deck that gets you to the top eight, but usually doesn't, you know, win you one or even gets you far in the top eight. I do like just a few of the cards that he put in that usually you don't totally see. Actually, no, I thought that was something different. I'm an idiot. Never mind. It's a very standard, very stock list. Rashad and Port,
Brimaz.
That's kind of new. I'm actually shocked to see that and not the Spirit. Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Mm.
No Spirit of the Labyrinth, but yet two Brimaz. Why not? It's good. It's a pretty good three drop. It ends games. We have Jund in third place. Jund. It's been a long time since I've seen a Jund list. Let's see. Bloodbraid Elf. Yep. Dark Confident. Yep. Deathrite Shaman. Sure. Yep. Four Tarmogoyf. Yep. Four Liliana. Yep. Yeah, so far, so good. Four Thought Seize, yep. Maelstrom Pulse, three Him to Torax. One Chainer's Edict. I love Chainer's Edict. Like, sacrifice that. Let's kill it again. Three Punishing Fire, so you got the Grove of Burn Willows Punishing Fire package in there. Okay. Two Lightning Bolt and three Abrupt Decay. Very stock list, very standard, a lot of powerful things. Sideboard, Python Needle, Scavenging Ooze, Engineered Plague, one Golgari Charm, three Elemental Red Elemental Blast, two Surgical Extractions, three Duress, and Inquisition of Kozilek, and a Life to the Loam. So he's got the Loam thing going on too, possibly. Okay.
It's not very standard, Angelo, it's very legacy.
Shut your fucking mouth. Thopter Blade by Adam Ruprecht.
Yes, this deck was...
This is worth talking about.
Dude. That I've never seen this Thopter Foundry combo, dude. I'm kind of wanting y'all to explain it to me.
Okay. All right. This, like... Thopter Foundry...
I gotta pull this list.
Okay. First. Here's the list. Three Stoneforge Mystic, two Vidillion Click, three Jace the Mind Sculptor, one Battle Skull, four Sensi's Divining Top, one Sword of the Meek, two Thopter Foundry. That is the combo. One Blood Moon.
Sword of the Meek?
Yes. Three Counterbalance, one Humility, because that's awesome. Four Brainstorm, one Counterspell. Yes, Counterspell. One Enlightened Tutor, four Force of Will, three Swords of Plowshare, and Entreat the Angels, and three Terminus. So basically, what this deck is, it's the Counterbalance, deck that I call Counterbalance, but everyone else calls Miracles. However, he's added the Thopter Foundry Sword of the Meat combo to it. What happens is you can, you know, equip creature gets +1/+2. Whenever a 1/1 creature comes into play under your control, you may return Sword of the Meat from your graveyard to play, then attach it to that creature. Thopter Foundry reads like as such: 1, sacrifice a non-token artifact. Put a 1/1 blue Thopter artifact creature.
You sack the sword.
You sack the sword, and then it comes back, attached to the creature, sack it again, and you can gain pretty much an infinite amount of life.
You're getting all this mana from, though.
I was just looking to see how they do it. Let's see, we have top, sword.
I mean, you can't really go infinite with this, can you? I mean, you just make a few Thopters a turn. That seemed to be what he was doing.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he has the infinite mana combo in here. When it was in, what was that, Extended back in the day? You could go infinite, and it was kind of stupid. See, sideboard, one Engineered Explosives, one Pithing Needle, and Ethersworn Canonist, two Meddling Mage of Detention Sphere, two Rest in Peace, one Enlightened Tutor to Pyroblast, two Red Elemental Blast, one Swords of Plowshare, Wear and Tear, and Venser, Shaper, Savant.
Venser.
Huh. Interesting.
I kind of wish it did have an infinite mana combo and was also Esper, just because I love Time Sieve with Thopter Foundry.
Yeah, that was part of the craziness back in the day, too. I like the one Counterspell. I just like Counterspell. I'm sorry. Like, to me, that is the gold standard as far as counters go. Like, two mana? No.
I hope they would reprint it, bro.
Dude, it would change standard to such a great place right now. I would play it.
I don't think it's that impressive or it costs two islands. So
yeah,
I would say island and colorless, no. But the fact it's two islands, man.
No. You're missing the fact, and this is the same thing that goes on in Legacy. We have essentially dual lands with the shocks. There's so much color fixing going on in Magic right now, it's not hard at all to have a counter spell turn two. It just isn't.
Yeah, no, I hear you, dude. I don't know. I would like to see it reprinted. I think it'd be okay to have in standard.
I don't think it'd be okay to have it in standard, but I'd love it if they did.
We're at a standard right now with Thoughtseize, which I find way, way stronger than Counterspell. I'm sorry.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Have you ever played against a good Counterspell deck? Like a really good one?
Yeah, when I first started playing.
That Stasis Lock type deck.
There was that Lock deck. I don't know what all ran, dude. I was a little kid, but I don't know, like Propagandas and shit and Counterspell and I don't know, dude. The
thing with Counterspell, and here's where Wizard says that there's a problem, is Counterspell can win counter wars against red decks because a lot of the burn actually costs two. And that was something they wanted red to be able to beat blue. Now, mind you, you know, that's just head-to-head. If you pair a color with it, red just can't beat like blue-white because of life gain and everything else. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I think if you put it in standard right now, it would be very scary. Very, very scary. I'd love it because, I mean, it's just, it's great. Anyway, what do you think, Tice?
If they reprinted Counterspell, I'd personally be all right with it. Mainly because I also like to be that guy.
Yes, so do I.
Weigh in, Posse, weigh in on this Counterspell debate. Post on the Facebook page.
They said Mana Leak was too good, so I just can't see Counterspell ever having a shot.
Yeah.
Mana Leak was too good.
That was the reason for not reprinting it. It was just too good.
They're just taking your balls as blue players.
Exactly. They're just taking our balls and making us, you know, go to limit. So we have Black White Deathblade in fifth. And let's see here. Ooh, Gatekeeper of Malakir. That's different. That's actually very different.
That was a monster back in Zendikar Standard.
Oh, I know. Just, you know, here, sacrifice this creature. You know, I'll pay the kicker. I don't care. It's three black. No big deal. So here's the list, because this is actually a very different type of list, although there's a lot of things you're going to see in here that you see in a lot of the other decks. One Tide Hollow Scholar.
You talked about the fifth place?
Yes.
I like that Manriki Gusari in the board, man.
Dude, it's Destroy Target Jitte.
Yep.
/ Batterskull. Four Dark Confidant, 4 Deathrite Shaman, 1 Gatekeeper of Malakir, 4 Stoneforge Mystic, 4 Liliana, 1 Batterskull, 1 Sensi's Divining Top, 1 Sword of Fire and Ice, 4 Swords to Plowshares, 1 Jitte, 3 Inquisition, 4 Lingering Souls, 3 Thoughtseize, 2 Vindicate, because Vindicate's just like excellent removal. Just kill it. I don't care what it is, just kill it. He has a Manriki Gusari, as Ryan alluded to earlier in his sideboard. He has Ethersworn Canonist, Fire Exion Revoker, a Choke! Choke! That's just mean. Why would somebody run Choke?
Because it's Legacy, and Blue's it's everywhere.
Evil person. Why would you run Choke? no, it's a great card, but
yeah, one that's really overpowered.
Choke, oh, yeah.
I don't know. I guess I kind of have the same issues with Choke as I do Blood Moon, I guess.
See, I don't have a problem with Blood Moon as much. I do have a problem with Choke.
You're a player.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, never mind. What Blood Moon does, it just, never mind. We have a Humility, we have Oblivion Ring, we have Rest in Peace, we have a Spirit of the Labyrinth, 2 Enlightened Tutored, 1 Zealous Persecution, any Kithkin player will tell you it's worth running black for that. 3 Thalia, Guardian of the Thraben. I like seeing the Zealous Persecution in there, I really do. Ooh, I like this list. I like it. I like it. I like it. Let's do that again. God damn it. The one big problem with this weekend is, I don't know if you guys saw this, but like Wasteland went up to like ridiculous amounts.
It's sitting at 100 now.
I saw it 100 right before we recorded. So it's just stupid.
Did it really go up to $100?
Yeah. Actually, that's for a played version. Your average version you get right now, like really good condition ones are going for like 150. It's stupid. Elves, 6th place. Blue-White Miracles, countertop. Flame in 7th. Sneak and Show in 8th. And the rest of it's not worth talking about, short of mentioning, hey, there's a Goblins list here. So, guys, that was our tournament scene this week.
Yeah.
Yay.
I really don't understand a lot of this anger against Sneak and Show when recently it's kind of not been there. Like, it's still there, but not as massive.
You know what it is? I don't think it's so much Sneak Attack or Show and Tell itself. Grizzlebrand is just the most busted card in Legacy, I think.
Let's see. How do I put this? Most people don't pay as close attention to Legacy as everyone thinks. Like, they don't realize that it's a rotating door. A deck pops up for a few weeks, it disappears. Then a new deck pops up, and it disappears. And it just does this, and does this, and does this. And yes, at the Pro Tours, or at the big GPs, people come out with their Sneak and Show decks, and Sneak and Show seems to do well at those. But that doesn't mean that that's the best deck in this format. It just...
I still think it is.
Look, in the hands of, you know, a Tier 1 pilot, it probably is. Most of the time going to be one of the best decks. Probably one of the best three. Myself, I still think, like, Bug Delver's the best deck. I'm more afraid of that.
I'm sorry, Angelo.
Go ahead, Tyson.
I'm the oddball out, and my personal favorite Legacy deck is Manaless Dredge.
Oh, dude, no, I mean, if you want to talk favorite deck, I mean, I'm a Belcher player, dude. I like Belcher, and I like fucking Pox. I mean, so I'm really the odd man out. But, I mean, as far as, like, when I'm sitting down playing, the deck that scares me the most is I don't want to play against Bug Delver. I just don't. That deck scares the bejesus out of me. Like, that has all the power you could possibly want, just sitting right there.
You know, the big weakness with those Delver decks, and I don't see it, is Painter's Stone.
Yeah. We've
talked about quite a bit, though, recently. It does show up. I mean, people are playing it. It's just, I don't know, like Angelo says, the decks, they're in the top 8 1 week, and then they're not around the next. But Show and Tell was around for a long time, pretty consistently, and I do think that... I don't know. I think Grizzlebrand is the card that's the problem as far as that deck goes. So
yeah, I don't know. I think Grizzlebrand could be replaced with any number of different things. I don't know.
But that draw 7.
No. I'm not saying that's not good. It's very good, but there's just, dude, there's a lot of cards printed, Brian. A lot of cards have been printed in the history of Magic. Like, if it wasn't that, they would find something else that might not be as powerful, but would be just good. You know, like, okay, I can replace this with this. It's, you know, and Emrakul is really how you want to win with that deck more than anything.
And Grizzlebrand draws you that more often than not.
It does. It does, but I mean...
And you get your life right back. So it's almost like there's no downside.
No, there is no downside to Grizzlebrand.
But I think
trust me, they would find a replacement for it that would, it might not be as good, but it would still work. It's cheating things into play. Yeah.
I think Grizzlebrand is a problem, personally.
I don't. Not in Legacy. I don't think he's a problem. I think people kind of overreact to the whole. See, don't go on the banhammer list very quick when it comes to Legacy, because there's answers for everything.
The format does fix itself, and that's kind of what I've been saying about Modern, too, in response to the Fan the Pod stuff that I think our boy Ryan Tice here might have started. But, you know, I think it's a format like Legacy that let the players figure it out.
Well, Ryan, my argument on that was how Angelo and you agree that Legacy is a revolving door. In Modern currently, Pod's the one keeping that door shut.
My personal opinion about that is the thing keeping that door shut is Wizards. And it's either you have to ban more stuff or you have to start unbanning some crap. And you have to unban a lot of stuff. And I think that that door opens.
Free Jace.
Free Jace.
Free Jace.
Free my Mind Sculptor. Free my frickin', you know, draw 3 cards on turn 3. Free anything.
Free Ponder, man.
Yes, free me some Preordain, please. Give me, you know, some tools to fight against these things, because that's the thing that Pod has going for it. It's just like, well, I need an answer. Oh, I have a Pod there. I can go get the answer. Blue doesn't have any option of getting that answer.
Well, I mean, we saw a blue-based control deck take it down in the finals of the last Pro Tour, but...
Yeah.
I mean, it's still a very, very tough matchup, and one that, I mean, control doesn't have...
Know, that it needs some more tools, and those tools are sitting on the ban list.
It's not a gimme matchup.
No. At all. So we last week went on a little tangent about an asshole. This week we find out that, you know, Helene Bergerot, she puts out this big thing about, you know, being nice to the people around you. And, you know, a few people is not anything like the 500,000 magic events run across the globe each year. That this just, you know, was a fluke thing. And don't pick on people around you. You know, don't take pictures of people's butt cracks. And then, you know, we find out through, you know, backwards means, because, you know, Wizards isn't allowed to announce specific things about specific players, usually. This player was banned for 18 months. So Buttcrack Boy, you got your 2 minutes of fame, and now you can go fuck yourself. I feel good about that. I do.
Yeah. That's a long time, dude. That's a big ban.
Dude, I know, like, the fuck, Guillaume, the Guillaumes, when they got banned, didn't get banned that long, and they fucking released every card early. I think it's great. It sets a precedent. I mean, and I'm not trying to be, you know, the white knight who's like, oh, it was funny at first. You guys know I've had the same opinion from the giddy up. This motherfucker, I don't like him. Go ahead, Tice. I haven't heard your view on this yet.
What he did, I won't approve of.
You want, what?
Did bring up a key point that I've been noticing a lot of people discuss it on places such as Reddit or all that is people will honestly want to consider the possibility of Wizards trying to implement some form of a dress code for these tournaments.
Okay, when you say dress code, what do you mean? Because anytime you say dress code, like, I'm thinking, I don't know, like, 40s, 50s, Germany, like, dress code bad.
Yeah, dude, that's... I don't like the idea of that at all. I already think they kind of overstepped their bounds in, like, player speech and what, you know, some people say or whatever. Like, you know, don't get me wrong, I don't think this guy's rights were violated in his free speech, because he didn't have, you know, those people were violated that whose images he portrayed, you know, without their consent. So I'm not crying about his free speech and his right to...
He got to speak it. The thing is, free speech only allows you protection from your government.
He does overstep bounds. Like, I felt like, I know Alex Bertoncini's a huge dick and nobody likes him, but he got his ban actually extended for some stuff he said on his Twitch stream.
So?
About, I just, again, right. That's his...
Free speech. Free speech protects you from your government. It does not protect you from independent fucking...
I get that, but I don't think, I do, there has been instances of WotC kind of, like, stepping in, people getting bans for what they say using their hashtags, and it's like, WotC doesn't own those hashtags, okay? That's a public forum, like, WotC has no, like, I don't like when they ban people for that sort of thing. But in this instance...
They've been very consistent with it, though. So it's not like people don't know that it would happen.
Look, if I think a guy's an asshole and they're putting him on camera, I shouldn't be afraid that if I say, like, yo, this dude's a dick, why do they keep putting him on coverage, hashtag GP Jacksonville, like...
You're not going to get banned for that.
They have, though.
Not for saying this dude's a dick.
They have, though.
If you straight up harass for a half an hour, that's a different story.
They have banned people in this past year for stuff they have said using their hashtags, like inappropriate...
Yeah, but it wasn't that. It was... No. It wasn't he's a dick. It was worse than that.
There has been worse than that, but there has been instances as menial as, like, as trivial as, like, someone being like, fuck, this guy's an asshole, like, quit showing him, like, and dude gets a 6-month ban. Like, I don't think WotC, I don't know, I think that's going a little bit, like...
It might be, but back to the original subject, what are you talking about as far as dress code there, Tice?
Well, honestly, what I mentioned a little bit on, like, the page... Nothing like grunge, more or less. Like, no sweatpants, nothing with a visible stain or tear.
Really?
I don't know.
Here's my thing. If you're a grown-ass dude or woman, you should be dressing like a grown-ass dude or woman in the first place. Like, the fact that we need people to tell you how to fucking look decent in public is just embarrassing. Like, that doesn't look good on this community. Like, you know, jean shorts and a hoodie. Sure, that's cool. I don't have anything wrong with that, but like... Yeah. You're not filthy and dirty looking or whatever, like...
Here's the thing though, man. When you're talking about how somebody dresses, you're talking about a lot of people dress to their personality. And you're talking about basically saying, look, your personality is not acceptable to us. You got to go. And I have an issue with that.
Dirty ass sweatpants and like a t-shirt that's
Here's a question for you. What if the dude doesn't have much money and that's what his wardrobe is because he doesn't have much money? You know, there's a lot of people who play this game and, you know, this is the truth, who just are broke losers. Okay, but the fact is that they're broke losers doesn't mean that they shouldn't be allowed to come participate in a large event.
Okay, that's fair. I hear your argument, man. I'm just saying, like...
And as far as stains on your clothes go, like, dude, I'm going to Philadelphia next month. I'm getting a cheesesteak probably between round 3 and 4. If something falls on my clothes, I'm going to have a stain, at least during that day.
That's cool. That's
like, I can't stop that.
I'm one of those dudes, man, like, Instagram shot out myself as Big Money Sweater, dude. I like my clothes. Like, I'm a fashionable dude. Like,
dude, me too. I wear nice clothes, but like, I'm not going to tell other people what they're wearing. Like, I mean, you get these people who show up, cosplaying.
It's like, just for me as a grown up, like, I feel there's a way you like present yourself to the public, and like, I get it if there's some kid there and he's got like ratty jeans that's like in style or whatever, but like, I don't know, dude, at an event, like, especially if I have like my, you know, I would love to get on camera. I would hate to get on camera and like look like a slob or something. I'll wear my It Ends Posse shirt all fucking day with some khakis.
Yeah.
That would do that.
There you go.
And a little bit on the side of the personality, not even so much as clothes, but you'll see it in so many places like big venues and all that. The people that play with the sleeves and the playmats that we all know is extremely offensive.
That I can see them actually putting a ban on. I have no problem with that.
I still like it. I was scrolling through eBay. That's funny you mentioned that, Tyson. I was looking for a Golden Girls playmat on eBay. And... They're out there. Golden Girl playmats exist.
Yeah, and you can get a Taiga for one of them, apparently. Just get a hold of Aerosmith.
Well, anyways, so I'm looking for this playmat, and there's like these playmats with like naked like anime chicks on them, and it's like, dude, like, I would feel so awkward if I sat down across from a woman and that's what I unrolled as my playmat, or like a younger kid or something. That's just weird, bro. Like,
I feel uncomfortable as a man sitting across from that.
Here's actually a little unknown fact about the rule book. If you do sit across from something like that, you can raise your hand and say judge, and the judge will come over and remove said playmat from the game area. And he can actually make him change his sleeves. That is the same as sitting there and just verbally abusing him as far as the rule book is concerned.
Yeah,
you can say something.
And you unrolled some offensive ass playmat. Yeah. Megan, you better call out the next motherfucker that like unrolls some dirty ass playmat as some like angel fingering herself or something.
No, she's less offended by that than you are.
She's laughing.
I see your point on that, Tice. Like, that is something that I think as a community, like, we should police that a little better. Like, come on, guys, have some, I mean, I've shown up at tournaments and seen those playmats, and I'm like, that's a cool playmat. But you know what? That's a playmat you should probably have at home. When you're sitting across from somebody, like, you show up in an F&M and there's a 10-year-old over there and you roll that thing out, like, come on, man. There's a 10-year-old sitting in front.
I rock the Liz Nugent swirl playmat myself.
Yeah. I rock a Cara Metra playmat myself.
There you go.
I rock the playmat that has been continually added to me by RK Post. It's a custom playmat. That's what I rock, so.
Megan runs the John Avon.
I was so thinking you was going to say some chick finger blasting herself.
No, but I don't know if she has any like that. A cigar to host a Herons, I think, but yeah.
I think what it all comes down to, and I don't think we're going to have too much of a problem with our listeners. Maybe Sid, because Sid's fucking crazy. Love you, bro. But, like, I mean, when you show up at these large tournaments, you should just keep in mind the players that are around you. You know, think, will this offend somebody? If it will, leave it at home.
Yeah, you know what there should be a ban on? Fucking overly done cleavage. That's a distraction, ladies. That is a distraction.
You know what? That's one that's used by a lot of ladies too. And I, you know, I know a couple ladies who do use that on purpose. Like you see them during the week and they wear fucking sweatpants and baggy ass shirts. You show up at an MTG event and they got that fucker pushed tight in there. And it's like, really? And she just looks at me and goes, yeah, I win, you know, two games a tournament because of this.
Believe me, I know Megan's won her share of games because dudes were too busy trying to talk to her and ask her questions about herself, not paying attention. So,
yeah,
I mean, it is what it is. But yeah, no,
I don't want that to go.
I'm just joking. Ladies, please dress like that more often in MTG events.
Yeah.
Distract all you want.
Or don't. There's a lot of creepy bastards at an MTG event.
Yeah, that could be true too. I like to think otherwise of Argentino. So
okay, let's move on. For those of us
derailed there,
yeah, we did. That's why I said let's just move on. For those of us that do play MTGO as much as it fucking annoys us, and had a bad weekend on there. I'll explain in a minute. A little later, I guess. Starting what would be tomorrow for us. So by the time you hear this, it's live. The April mocks begins. It's the April season, so the participation promo is a Tromocratus, so if you play in, I think it's like four tournaments, you get one of those. If you spend $20 in their store, you get an Encroaching Waste. Yeah. But if you qualify for the mocks, you get a Force of Will.
Ooh, that's pretty sweet. And is this the first, like, reprinting of it?
Of a Mox
promo,
I do believe it's the second re-release of a Mox promo.
Okay, so they've digitally redone this card before.
Yes.
Okay. Isn't the digital one of the rare instances where the online version is more expensive than the real one?
It is.
Way more than the real one. Like, yeah. This is, you know, here's $100.
Yeah, it's about $100 online from what I understand.
Yeah, so that's sweet. So MTGO players, this is the month to grind, and couldn't have picked a better time, because I know I'm going to be on there like crazy prepping for Philly, so I have to have a Force of Will possible. What the hell is all that noise?
Sorry, that was the chair I'm sitting in. I bought one of those bungee chairs over the weekend, and I love this thing.
Oh, okay. I just farted or something into my mic. He farted. Okay, so April 1st, they basically releasing probably the biggest April Fool's joke they possibly can. They're putting out a book about Theros. An ebook. These things are usually horrible.
Oh, no doubt.
And again, it's the same thing. Like, you know, if you have a Mac, you got to download an extra app just so you can read the book.
I believe, though, this one was written by a sixth grade essay contest winner. So it might be a notch above the elementary school student that won a coloring contest.
See, I thought it was written by the same 5-year-old that made Axe Cop.
It might have been. It might have been.
I mean, it's just, these things are bad. I've read so many of them over the years just because, like, I'm bored and I actually do like the story background to the game, but these stories are fucking just poorly written. Poorly, poorly written. So, yeah, I mean, for $1.99, if you already have the compatible device, then go for it, I guess. If you're like me and you actually like that stuff, but these are usually pretty bad. Okay, so, I have one kind of big announcement I want to put out there. Contest, folks. You want to win $100? I'm going to tell you how to win $100. I'm going to leave this run all the way till June, and we're going to announce it every week until then. Pittance needs a new logo. And you know what? I want to highlight an artist in the community. Here's the deal. Submit art, your interpretation of, you know, what the Pit Imps logo should be, and I'll tell everybody flat out what I want to see.
I like that cartoony dude on Brainstorm Brewery.
I don't like that card.
It's man.
A card picture. I don't like using a card picture. I just don't. So here's what I want to see, flat out, plain and simple. I want to see something that highlights my city. You notice that we spell Pitt, P-I-T-T. You know, so highlight Pittsburgh a little bit, and I want to see some Imps. You don't have to get too detailed here. Make it nice, simple, make it a logo. And if I pick yours as the best, and this is a big part of it, and use it, I will ship a $100 check to you. And any further things after that, like if we decide to do a custom play mat, which is, you know, something I kind of want to do. If we decide to do some tokens of us, you know, anything like that, we're going to go to you first. And yes, we'll pay a commission on these.
That's dope.
So artists, get out there, spread the word about this announcement. I want to see by, you know, June when I decide, you know, it's finally time to cut this off. I want to see 30 or 40 submissions. Even if you're not that great of an artist, there's $100 that you could possibly win. Send me stuff.
Yeah, dude, Kevy Metal, give us a stick figure.
Yeah, that ain't going to win. you can send stuff to it won't win because I'm picking. And he gave me a, I have an avatar from Kevy Metal that I've never used. So send your submissions to pitimppodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to pick four or five of them at the end of this that I really like, that I think are, you know, the top four or five. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to post them to the Facebook page and I'm going to let the posse choose that final breakdown.
Sweet. Taking it to the streets.
So guys, please give me submissions. Send them to me. I want to see as many as possible.
That's what's up, dude. Going off of the contest, man, we're in a contest mood right now at the Pit Amps. Last week we announced our 100th group member there on the page. And I want to give props to the guys that have been there the longest and whatnot. So, random.
He was kind of a contest winner. He just didn't realize it because it was a quiet contest. It wasn't something I ever wanted to announce, but I'd had that land for months.
We did kind of mention we would do something at the 100th member. What I want to do for y'all though is, just randomly, pick a posse member, from the list. It shows how long you've been a member or whatever. I'm gonna break it down by if you've been in for a certain amount of months, you're gonna get a certain amount of entries.
Ooh, I get a bunch of entries.
I'm gonna randomly draw and you're gonna get something sweet. So
nice,
that bastard will pick himself. Don't let him kid you.
No.
He'll be like, I won!
I do, man. I set a bunch of rares aside for the posse, and to be fair, we haven't done a deck challenge in a while or enough contests, and I do. I got some good rares, like Thoughtseize is one I'm giving away. Like, I got a bunch of good cards that are for you guys that we just haven't got on it, so I wanted to do that, and I figured the system I got is a good way to, you know, reward those that have been there a long time, and kind of, you know, up their odds a little bit of winning, and then also give the people that just joined yesterday a chance to win. You know what I mean?
So let me ask you a question.
What's
that? When are you planning on doing this? In a couple weeks?
Well, I'll announce the winner here in 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay, so you hear what that says. Get on the Facebook page, ask to join the group, and you'll get an entry. At the very least, you'll get one entry.
Simple as that.
A low percent is better than no percent.
You know what I mean? You can't win the Powerball without buying a ticket.
Although I just wish one day they would be like, and the guy who didn't buy a ticket, Ryan Tice, I'd be like, yeah.
See, I just buy the ticket.
I'll be randomly drawing out of a goodie box I got. And like I said, there's a foil Thundermaw Hellkite in there. I don't know if anyone even plays that card anymore, but you know, it's fun stuff. So get a hand from goodies.
Hey, worst comes to worst, that foil Thundermaw Hellkite will fit great in an EDH deck, which, Ryan Tice, don't hit the trigger button on your thing here, because this is your conversation, sir. We're going to do a little bit of, and I know I didn't put this on the show notes, but Ryan wants to do this, and I kind of back him. We're going to talk a little bit of Commander.
Yeah, you're like the resident EDH expert, so just kind of wanted to, it's a format I kind of started looking at. I can't believe I just called it EDH.
I know, I was going to bust your balls for it.
Fuck, dude, fuck. Commander, okay, man. You know, what is, okay, so first of all, what are some of the key cards, the staples of the format that you want to look into getting? I know Soul Ring is one I hear a bunch when I ask, but what are the must-haves? I'm assuming this is a format like any other that has its, you know, must-have cards.
Well, yes and no. There are always going to be, like, those really good cards that can fit into a bunch of decks, like Soul Ring, Command Tower, Cage Sun. A lot of the stuff I'm talking right now is stuff like Mana Rocks. Stuff to accelerate your mana, but it's not a creature, so stuff like Board Wipes, you're alright with them happening. But
okay, Mana Rocks.
If you're playing, like, specific stuff like...
I know, like, in blue, you need bribery. Like, it's almost a must.
Yeah, like, if you want to play, like, a mono-blue deck, and there are a lot of great mono-blue commanders, like Teferi, Talrond, V-Click, There's like bribery.
Tower End is legendary?
Oh yeah.
Oh dude, I didn't even think of that. That, I bet that's sweet, dude.
A lot of decks run Tower End with like every single blue cantrip just to make like an army of drakes out of nowhere and just swing for lethal on people. Huh. But yeah, if it's like a mono blue deck, you want like bribery, you want like acquire, you want like that one counter spell that when you counter it, you gain control of that creature they were about to play. And so many different themes, like if you want to run like a Golgari deck to reanimate stuff, you want stuff that you'll filter in the graveyard, you need your dredge guys, you need your Golgari cave troll. And like, he's about $20. If you run Golgari, you want a Lord of Extinction. Just bar none, one of the best Golgari color cards ever printed.
Okay, I'm writing this down.
That's weird. When I played my green-black, I never ran Lord. Because I would run green-black-white, and I just never ran Lord.
Yeah, if you're going to run junk, then you run... It depends. Like, you can run Doran, which Doran's like one of the most awesomest creatures ever to be made.
It is.
I was going to say Angelo's
favorite cards, but I've never used him as a general. I usually use, what was it, Teneb the Harvester? Was that,
oh, yeah, he's good.
Was that the three-color one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But honestly, the way I get my commander news is I'll read, like, the commander section of Reddit, or I'll go to MTG Top 8 and look at those tournaments there, and...
See, isn't Reddit like a cesspool for Magic? Because every time I've been on there and looking at Magic stuff, like, I'm on there for 2 minutes and I want to fucking blow my brains out.
You need to go to, like, they have actual competitive subreddits in Magic.
Yeah, like I heard that Reddit is kind of a matter of what you, like, where you go, like, a majority of it's crap, but there is some, like, you know, forums and subforums and whatnot that are, you know, people are actually not just there trolling.
Yeah, like, there's Reddit's subreddit called Spikes for competitive Magic in all forms. Competitive EDH. Regular EDH. Those are places like I like to go catch news.
So you mentioned, okay, going off that, you mentioned competitive and not competitive EDH. What do you play?
I will play just regular table with anyone and either.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to ask is there, it seems like from the outside looking in that EDH has a certain kind of like etiquette you follow.
Yeah, there is, several forms of etiquette. One is the whole everyone should try to have a fun time, and that can be really misinterpreted.
Yeah, how do you balance that with being competitive?
Honestly, sometimes it will just depend if you want to make multiple decks. Like, in real life, I only have one deck where I use Gahiji, one of the guys from the Naya Precon. But okay. If I will play on, like, a third-party program online, I'll make just fun decks, but I'll have a couple, like, real competitive ones. So if I want to join, like, a competitive lobby, I'll play that.
So it kind of depends on the scene. That's, I guess, something I really like about Commanders. It seems real community-oriented.
Yeah.
What are some of the, like, unwritten rules? Like, I know that Commander has some unwritten rules.
Armageddon will piss people off.
Yeah. So will, like, and I've had my ass handed to me at the local shop a few times I've played there. Anything before, like, a turn 5 Purphoros in a deck that makes tokens, people consider you a pariah.
I've actually seen people call you an asshole on the Facebook page for doing that.
Well, it would have been discarded regardless, so I was like, you know what, might as well try to get some value off it.
Right? That sounds sweet to me.
Isn't Purphoros banned now?
No.
Oh, okay.
See, I might be too spiky for Commander, is what
then
I am.
If you want to do dual Commander, it's 1v1 format, 30 life, and it has a different set of ban lists. Like, the Mana Rocks are not really played in 1v1, like Soul Ring's banned.
Is this, not to cut you off, is this what they call French?
Yes.
Okay.
And there are a lot of cards that are banned in normal EDH that aren't in there, like Primeval Titan.
Sylvan Primordial, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Grizzlebrand is unbanned in competitive EDH.
Huh.
It's a different taste of the format. If you watch all these different styles play, it's just in my opinion, one of the best formats.
What? Yeah, I know you love it, and I gotta ask, what is your favorite way to play it? Is it like 1v1, or do you like those big multiplayer games, or, I mean, what's your style?
I honestly like a little bit of both. If I want to do multiplayer games, I'll take my deck after like a draft or something if it's going to be playing and try to get a game in there. If I want to play more competitive, I'll play online.
Okay. Yeah. No, I know you're a big fan of the format, so I kind of had a feeling you're just down for whatever game you can get in. Is there a deck like that's your, like, what's your favorite deck? Is like, what do you like to play the most?
I'm just a sucker for aggro. Anything where I can just pump out creatures.
Okay. Aggro, I can... I wondered about aggro in Commander, if that was something that was viable or not. It seems like when I look around, I see a lot of, like, wonky combo-based, like, artifact things and, like, weird...
Dude, the artifact combos are not wonky. I've played Arkham Dagson, I've played Karn, trust me, it's not wonky at all.
Well, it's like, and they just made Karn better by printing Sidri.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really so much aggro, I guess, actually taking that back. It's more of a mid-rangey kind of thing.
Okay.
Where, like, you want to try to get advantage with each creature you're playing, like, it will do something.
Okay. Yeah. I've looked into, like, some token builds, and I actually like I like Bant from what I've seen so far, Commander. I'm going to put you on the spot here. This is probably a tough one, but as far as commanders go, do you have like a top five?
I think everyone's top five would be completely different.
Top five.
I imagine this is a tough question because I know there's so many to choose from.
There are a bunch of really good commanders in both formats.
Rafelos still banned, or did that get unbanned and rebanned? Or
Rafelos is banned as a general.
Damn.
What's your all-time favorite commander?
My all-time favorite commander would probably be Azuri.
Okay, that's the elf that I already mentioned, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Other than that, probably Draana Calastria Bloodchief. She was an absolute horror to see in, like, Triple Rise draft.
That sounds, I'm gonna guess.
Yeah, Rash. That's shocking, because when I ran black, I ran Korlash as my, Or no, not Korlash. You know what? I ran Dakin, and that was Black Blue. Yeah, never mind. Excuse me. Continue on. I'm an idiot.
But honestly, I think some of the best commanders are some of the just mono ones, like Talrond, Krenko, good white commander, Thalia.
Yeah, Thalia seems pretty solid for... don't tell me there's a commander death and taxes list.
Yeah.
I won't tell you there's a commander death and taxes list. However, I'm lying.
Oh, man.
Dude, all death and taxes is mono white. It's cheap mono white.
You just got my dick hard.
Hey, Ryan, can I, not Tice, Mr. Sex Panther, can I just make a suggestion to you? And I'm sure Tice is going to back me up on this. Stop looking at lists. And just build a goddamn deck if you want to play Commander. Don't think about how am I going to win, how am I going to do this. Just build a deck and adapt from there.
I was looking through my older binders the other day, and I'm like, I got all these rares that I could just throw in a fucking Commander deck.
Yeah, well, just build 100 cards and adapt from there after you see how things shake out after your first one. Am I right, Tice?
Yeah, I would do that when making a Commander. Like, I'll look online for just, like, random legendaries. Then I'll, like, build, like, majority of the skeleton myself. Then I'll look at, like, primers.
No, I looked at Triad of Fates, actually, the other day. I was like, this is probably a real shitty commander.
But if I'm like, run black-white with legendaries out, I would just honestly run Taysa.
Okay, the new envoy of ghosts or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I didn't... I was like, I was just looking at this card. For some reason, I have like 10 copies of it, probably because I pre-ordered it like an idiot. But
burn on that one too, huh?
Dude, you know I'm a sucker for my rares. I did actually.
Telling you, stop fucking pre-ordering.
I did. This was Theros, man. I did actually pre-order a fucking playset of Triad of Fates, and I was just like, I gotta make work somehow.
I'm like the least spikiest person in the world, and I still would have told you that's a bad investment. assessment.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I thought for EDH it looked cool. I was like, oh, EDH guys will want this. And no, no one's wanted it. No. So, yeah, I was like, maybe I'll be the guy that builds the Triad of Fates.
But if you do decide to build your Triad of Fates, get Divinity of the Pride.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what that's called, the Flyer 6-6, Tice?
I want to say that.
Yeah, it's, Divinity is something. It becomes like a 2020. It's unreal.
Well, I would immediately probably, like, mono white, like Death and Taxes, Life Gain, with like Sarah, Sindin, Ajani, like the Soul Sisters deck I couldn't run in Modern because it stuck too
you
bad.
You know, if you really want to run like something big on Life Gain, you're a Selesnya guy, so I know you have one around. Tristani.
Ah, oh, dude, she'd be a sick commander.
Yeah.
That's right up my fucking alley, dude. Tokens and life gain. I'm such a noob. I love tokens and life gain. Fuck but, yeah. No, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was gonna say, back to that, creating off your own ideas. That's what I'm doing with a new deck. I mentioned it a few days ago on the page. SCG was doing like sales of stuff from the vaults. And I picked up a Cow Lord of Way for like $1.
There you go.
So I was like, all right, I can do this. And I looked at some other cheap stuff they had from the vaults. I picked up Boseju, just a great land.
That's a good call, yeah.
Jester's Cap, which...
Who shelters all?
Jester's Cap. I have some old ones of those.
That's all you're going to get because they were printed in Ice Age.
Is that a good? I didn't even know that was a good card, dude. I just like the art is kind of fun. I remember a shop owner wanting them, but I was like, no, dude, that art is too fucking cool. It's like the Joker smiling.
Oh my god, really? You didn't realize that, dude? Back when, okay, there wasn't really a standard at the time because there really wasn't a bunch of sets out, but like that was a key card in, you know, the format back then.
But is it worth something? Because I got like 3 of them.
A couple bucks.
Never mind.
But that and I got the new art Chainer's Edict because it looks sick.
That does. That card is sick. Yeah, the new art on that is dope. So, you got them all foiled, so.
Yeah, this is like my new idea I'm going to work on in like the next couple months. Make it a 1v1 deck, just mono black control. Just like pick their hand apart, have stuff like Geth's Grimoire, Words of Spoiling, just keep their hand to nothing. And
that's such a pain to play against.
And as soon as M15 comes out, I am going to try my hardest to find a Waste Knot.
Are you going to run like Sinkhole and all that good shit?
I ain't made of money.
Sinkhole isn't that expensive. They're not that cheap, but they're not that expensive.
I'm just thinking, how competitive are you trying to take this mono black? Like, you're going to have Liliana and...
I actually do have a Liliana of the Veil I pulled out of a fat pack like a month and a half ago.
There you go. Sweet. As far as getting into, what do you think of the new decks, man? Like the pre-built?
They're perfect to get into it. They have...
So you would recommend me picking one of those up then instead of going to my first commander? Yeah. Okay.
Pick one of those up. It will have the staples like Soul Ring, Command Tower, a lot of grid stuff. Give you 3 commanders, maybe other ones to look around at. And you were saying something about Bant. The Bant Precon has arguably like 2 of the best commanders in it. Duravi
like Trostani, like Selesnya backed up with some like, you know, just solid blue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's pretty damn good.
And, like, if you want to make it more competitive, there's Duravi, which you only pay 4 for her ever.
Huh.
Or Rune, and just pile the deck full of Enter the Battlefield effects.
Which I love, so.
And just keep, like, popping him off, like, every so often.
Okay.
Well, and if you do that, you need, like, Hourglass or Sundial of the Infinite. Try to be political. Someone's like, I'll exile your guy, but you get it back. Like, if it has a good Enter the Battlefield effect, they'll be like, all right, main phase 2, drop that Sundial, then activate it, end the turn. Everything on the stack no longer exists. It's gone for good.
There you go. Yeah. I don't know. It seems pretty political. I'm gonna give it a try, and I appreciate you kind of, you know, answering some of my questions there about it. I've been real curious about it, so. Yeah.
I enjoyed that. I didn't have to talk for 20 minutes.
And also...
There you go.
Also, don't be afraid of proxy.
Boo!
Yeah, no, proxy is not bad.
Boo!
When we got... You could get some sweet... Shout out to the proxy guy. You could get some sweet stuff, man.
See, okay, you guys are going to open up a fucking can of worms with me that I don't feel like opening up, but... Proxies are fake cards. Anyway.
You can't use them in a competitive sense, but they're great for testing. And if you're trying to pimp out a cube, like...
No. There's reasons for proxies, and there's not reasons for proxies. I'll tell you what, if I sit down in an EDH game, because this conversation thus far has been specifically EDH, if I go to a GP and I sit down in an EDH game and say I have my Karn deck in front of me that I sometimes borrow off of my brother who, for some reason, still has all these great decks that he never plays. But I sit down and I have that thing in front of me and then the guy across from me plays a proxy card, dude, I'm going to call a judge or I'm going to lose my mind because you don't actually own that card. The second you get into a competitive scene with it, no proxying should be allowed whatsoever. Now, if you're playing at your local store or, you know, you're just having fun with, if you're having fun with friends on your kitchen table, I don't care. If you're at your local store, I do think you should ask your opponent if they're okay with proxies.
That's my stance on them. And also, if it's like, you're running like, if you only have a one of a card, but it's ran in multiple decks, it's just a convenience factor. Like, you can say, like, I have this card. Like, say it's you have one Soul Ring, but four commander decks that the Soul Ring can go in.
Yeah. Also, I do think if you are going to run proxies, it has to be a high-quality proxy. Like, the last thing I want to see is an island with fucking text on it. Because at that point, I can't look across the table and tell what you're playing. I have to actually pick up every proxy you have and read it as I'm playing. It's one thing for testing, like I said, you know, when you get into standard and stuff like that, proxy up every fucking card in the format and test the shit out of it. I have no problem with that. But once you take it beyond, you know, having fun with your friends or kitchen table, you should be real careful with proxies. Because in the end, they are just fake cards.
Yeah, like, all my decks I'm making out of full cards. So, I'm just saying this, if this is like someone who really wants to at least get their feet wet. Understand what this format's about.
Yeah, explore it a bit before you invest in it, for sure.
I mean, but again, you know, and, okay, you're not going to get high-quality proxies without investing. And are you honestly better off going out and buying those high-quality proxies or having somebody make you up some high-quality proxies or spending your time making those high-quality proxies or going to Walmart and dropping $30 on a deck to get your feet wet? I'd go to Walmart and drop $30 on a deck myself.
Yeah. I think I'm going to pick up one of those.
Dude, I keep looking at the Bant one. I'm not even going to lie because, like, I don't have any EDH decks built anymore. I used to have a bunch of them. I used to play a lot of EDH, actually.
Well, what have you been up to lately, man?
This weekend I kind of got pissed off by MTGO, to be honest.
Oh, don't you don't say.
Yeah, so, like... And, dude, Eddie Gentle, or Gentile, or whatever the fuck his last name is, the Philly guy, who's part of the posse group, me and him both were actually in the same sealed event. We were waiting for this thing to fire at 4 o'clock, okay? I was like, okay, cool, maybe we'll play each other, maybe we won't, who knows. So it's like 10 after 4, when the fucking tournament was supposed to start at 4, and I get this message from him, hey, dude, did it fire for you? And I'm like, I don't know what the hell's going on. Yeah. And immediately the fucking chat goes crazy. Everybody's like, what the fuck happened? You know, this got shut down, that got shut down. So I sat there for half an hour waiting to see if this thing will fire. Then it became apparent it's not going to fire, which is really shit because normally when you play in like a sealed event or a draft or anything like that and something doesn't, you know, as long as you crack your packs, you keep your cards. We never got to the crack a pack phase. Like if the tournament started at 4 o'clock, the system crashed at 3:59. Okay, so, like, all I'm getting back as far as compensation goes is what I actually put into the tournament. So that kind of pisses me off. Because, you know, if I'd have got those cards on top of it, I would have just shrugged and went, hey, okay, I got some cards, got my shit back, I didn't really lose anything, okay. But I sat online for, like, half an hour, 45 minutes, until they finally said, hey, guys, if you're an event, we promise and guarantee that you will get your stuff back. Just give us your event number, and then you can go. So I hurried up, I punched in my event number, and I left. And I'm like, you know, I just lost an hour of my life sitting here waiting for this event to fire before, because, you know, I try to get on there 10, 15 minutes before the event, just in case it fills up. And this one actually did. And then I'm sitting there and I'm just, you know, waiting. It's like, I lost an hour of my life on top of fucking everything else. It's like, all I'm getting back is what I put in. And I'm kind of pissed off about this one. Because I didn't get any practice in this weekend because of that. And you know me, like, I'm trying to practice as much as I possibly can before Philly. And I just did not get a chance to do any practicing this weekend. That pissed me off. Also,
shut it down, Wadsy. Shut it down.
Dude, it was shut down for about 12 hours Sunday because of this. And then also,
hire Trick Jarrett, in all honesty.
Oh my god. Well, you know what? I don't know, man. They're fucking, it's just fucking, yeah. Anyway, so, and then they, like I was saying last week, I do premier events typically. Okay. Because I can get that time in, and you know, playing 8-9 rounds is better than not. Than sitting there just playing four, because I can play four almost anywhere. Playing 8-9 rounds is a big deal to me. So their premier event for Sealed, one of them was at 6:30 in the morning, and this is just on Sunday, the only day literally I could do it because of work and other commitments. One of them was 6:30 in the morning, the other one was at 10:30 at night. I couldn't do the 10:30 at night one because I have to get up at 5 o'clock to go to work. And the 6:30 in the morning one I actually was going to do, but I slept in.
Oh.
And it's just like, you know, could you fucking time these a little bit better? I understand that people across the globe are all on the same server and they can't always make it the most accommodating for people in the U.S., but
I don't know why they just don't have more than one fucking server.
Well, yeah, they should have more than one fucking server, but like, why can't you add a third one in there for like midday? You know what I mean? If you have one at 6:30, 12:30, and 10:30, you've literally covered your base across the globe. Just have three premier events. Just run three. That's all I'm fucking asking for, Wizards. Come on! Ah, MTGO fucking infuriates me. But, yeah, I've been watching a lot of college basketball, too. That's kind of been my life.
Yeah.
What you been up to, Ryan Tice?
A whole lot of nothing. Just been working.
There you go.
I feel like telling us what you do for a living, or you just don't care?
No, I enjoy my work. I'm a drafter for an engineering firm. And
no shit.
It's a nice job. Enjoy it.
That's cool. But, I almost did that, actually. When I was in high school, I was taking four drafting courses a year.
Yeah, like CAD stuff?
Well, it started out like 1 through 4 was like paper and pen, or paper and pencil. And then from that point on, it was CAD and engineering and things like that. And I actually took a college course while I was in high school and actually got like, you know those bullshit degrees you can get from fucking like, you know, you take a test at home, send it in, they send you the results. I actually took one of those while I was in high school for drafting. I wanted to be a drafter, but after doing it for all those hours in a day, I decided I couldn't do that all day long. I'd fucking kill myself. As much as I enjoyed it, I couldn't do it that much.
Sounds like fun if you're, it's like drawing on a computer kind of stuff. Like, I don't know, I could see that being enjoyable for sure.
Yeah, but that's cool that you actually do that. I have a lot of friends that actually do. Do you ever get in any landscape drafting?
I did graduate school for architectural drafting, but right now I'm an electrical drafter. But landscaping, it's not that far off from stuff I know pretty well.
We got smart people in the posse.
It's close to architectural. The system that I use, actually, because I took all those courses in high school and what have you, at work, I spend a day a week in the office just doing drawings and, you know, doing a landscape system, you know, basically doing architectural design for landscapes. So people can see what their shit's going to look like before they actually shell out the cash.
Yeah.
And the system I use is very, very similar to like any architectural design. Like it'll be like insert rhododendron and you just put like a rhododendron there and poof, it pops up. You know what I mean? And then it pops up on the drawing, which is all to scale. You know how that works. But then on top of it, like I'll get a photo of their house and it'll actually put it directly into the photo of their house. So it makes it look like a finished product before it's actually a finished product. I don't know, like, if you took architectural.
We have a similar thing with sunrooms and stuff.
Okay, yeah, if you took architectural, like, I think you'd be great at running that system.
Yeah.
I have to keep that in mind.
Other than that, I've just been, honestly playing a lot of Diablo 3, just waiting for that expansion next week.
Sweet.
Are you a fan of Diablo 3? Cause I've heard, like, either you really like it or you hate it.
I love the series, but when I bought Diablo 3, I was like, this is shit. Because at the point, it was just like, really, you were stuck grinding for hours upon hours upon hours to get something even remotely good. But I think like a couple months back, they changed the way the game runs in this major patch, and good gear drops frequently now. The game's a lot smoother, better frame rate, a lot easier for someone just getting into the game. So it's honestly, it's a whole new game, and they did it right the second time around.
Sweet. I actually used to play Diablo for the PlayStation. Yes, I said Diablo. Not one, not two, just Diablo.
Wasn't it a computer game or something first?
It was computer and PlayStation, but finding a copy for the PlayStation is almost impossible. And when I say PlayStation, I mean PlayStation.
Yeah.
And, dude, it was leaps and bounds beyond what every other RPG at that time was.
Yeah.
But the new one is actually, from what I've gotten, I've only gotten to jam it a little bit. I haven't, like, really sat down and played a bunch of it. It seems like the other RPGs have caught up to it and surpassed it, unfortunately. Like, I don't think Skyrim's even that far off from Diablo 3.
See, I don't really see it as much of an RPG anymore, which I used to love RPGs, but due to time constraints, I can't really get into them. I now see it as more like a just a dungeon mashing game, and I love it when I look at it like that.
I feel you. Dude, if you want an RPG that you can play quickly, get South Park's Stick of Destiny. Or Stick of Truth, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I've been wanting to get that. It was a toss-up between Stick of Truth or Reaper of Souls when it comes out, and I was like, you know what, I really want Reaper of Souls.
Are you a South Park fan?
Oh, yes.
Then you'll love the game, dude. It's like, I sat down and I played it from beginning to end in 3 days, right? So it doesn't take long. It isn't going to eat up a bunch of your time. But it's literally like you're sitting down and you're playing a season of South Park episodes.
That sounds awesome.
There's like 4 days total that the whole game interlaps. And then there's, you know, there's little side missions here and there that you can go do. But, dude, it's just playing South Park. It's fucking great.
Sounds fun.
I say get it. I'm serious, man. Like, I'm very happy that I purchased that game.
It'll be on my list. Oh, yeah.
Hey, Sexy Panther there, Mr. Asterisk.
What's up?
Has anybody sent you any fucking, you know, suggestions on your name change? Because wasn't that, like, one of your contests that you put out 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, like, throw out some suggestions if you got them. I need a Twitter name.
I mean, you know what I you know, it should be, like, Bacon Eater all day.
No. Not bacon.
I love pork.
Nothing really offensive. Just throw me something goofy. I'll put it out there.
Yeah. Actually, I got a message here. This was from a friend of mine. And a friend of yours as well. And it says, he drew a pic of his dick for you?
What?
That's what it says. It says, oh, well, tell Sex Panther he better shout me out because I drew a pic of a dick for him.
Oh. you're talking about Kelso.
Yeah, Kelso got a hold of me right as we were starting the cast.
Mr. John Kelso. He was looking for an article to write, posted a blank page. It was like, what would you like to see on this paper? And I said, a dick. And he posted the, you know, the notebook again and it had a dick on it. He actually did it.
Well played, sir. Well played.
So, yeah. No, always shout out to the Sackling family, of course.
Yeah, but, you know, you been doing anything, like, worth talking about, or?
No, I don't understand these people going, like, fucking 7-0, 6-0 starts with Nia Hexproof, and I go to F&M and just get fucking wrecked. I don't know. I had fun playing it. It's a goofy ass deck. Like, I never got 2-0'd.
Play it for a month.
Yeah, I think I need to get, I kept some questionable hands. Like, I played some tough matchups, dude. Blue White Control, Supreme Verdict is still really good. Like,
yeah, no shit.
So, I actually lost because I was trying to hold up like a Boros Charm and I should have just put an enchantment on and tried to get through extra damage. And I don't know. It's a fun deck though. It's definitely cool. Something different. So, you know, I'm on this new different deck kick. I'm not trying to play just like, you know, whatever's top tier. I'm definitely imbrewing a blue white, as I mentioned earlier, working on. I like this red white burn. I don't think it's exactly where it wants to be yet. I do still think it's a slightly creature heavy. The list that won the SEG, I kind of want to work on something with that. I think Satyr Fire Dancer is too good to not be playing in a burn list, in a burn heavy show at least.
He's really frail.
He is. I mean, he, of course, he dies to a lot of spot removal, but that's the dies to Doomblade argument. You know what I mean? Like, you're being able to throw a bolt at their guy and then know that you're still going to get damaged to, through to their face. Like, I like Seder Fire Dancer. I don't know.
I'm not saying I don't. I love the card too.
It is fragile, but I mean, you're definitely not going to be attacking with, but I think in the burn heavy list, it's not, you know, it's not bad. I mean, you get to throw everything you want at their face. And if they happen to have creatures, it's going to bounce off their face and hit their dudes as well. I mean, it makes a lot of those questionable, like, do I throw this at their face or their dude situations irrelevant.
Fair.
That's something that comes up with these burn heavy decks. I mean, really, like, can I afford to, you know, what are my out, like, can I afford to try to race this creature or two they got on the board? Or do I need to take care of this creature? Like, this just totally eliminates that whole issue. I don't know.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you do anything outside of Magic with your life?
Dude, I spend a lot of time just brewing and shit. Yeah, of course. I mean,
because it seems like every week when I say, hey, what have you been up to? It's like, you know, I've been jamming this, I've been jamming that, working on this deck, working on that. It's like, yeah. God damn, my man lives this game. I love this game, but man.
I really want to start going to a lot more PTQs and stuff. By the way, it's not modern season for everyone going nuts about that. We are doing sealed PTQs. Shout out to Dan T at Captain Never on Twitter for giving me the lowdown on that, because everyone's saying it's modern season and Wizards has come out. It's actually, they're doing sealed until June.
That's fucking awesome. I think I might try to qualify.
So do some PTQs. Now's the time, because plenty of online PTQs. I'll send you the link to the schedule when we're done here. But yeah, I mean, sealed until June is pretty. I mean, if you're into limited, it's a good time. I might try a limited PTQ just because the ones.
Bullshit.
Well, dude, I almost don't have a choice because I don't. There's only one. Like PTQ, the two or three that are close to me that are upcoming are all in this time frame where it's going to have to be sealed, or I'm not going to be able to make the later PTQs.
Yeah, I actually, like, I thought it was modern myself, and I basically wrote off this whole entire period of time, but with it being sealed and it being a limited format, I might seriously consider trying to qualify.
Yeah, I mean, go for it. Sealed is your bag, dude. I'm sure you'll do better than I will. It seems fun, and I just want to try some of these, you know, you can't get there if you don't try. So.
That's it. Can't win the Powerball without buying a ticket, homie.
Maybe, hopefully, depending on if we can get out of something this weekend, whether or not we can make it to GP Cincinnati. So there's that. I think some posse members have already mentioned maybe going, so.
I know KYT's gonna be there.
Yeah, that'll be cool. That'll be cool to go, so. I haven't, you know, really done the whole GP thing, and this one's pretty close to me, so.
Yeah, you should make it to Philly.
Yeah, I do want to make it to Philly, too. I told you about that before the cast. I'm working on that, so.
Yeah, so I'm gonna move to shout-outs so we can wrap this up. Shout out, from me and Ryan to, Mr. Tice there for coming on tonight. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you're the first of a long line. If guys, listen, if you're a part of the posse as far as the Facebook page goes and you've been there for a while and you want to come on the show, get a hold of me. I will put you on the show. It's that easy right now for like, until we get to like episode 70, my plan is to have a person from the posse on here every fucking
time. I'm hoping we could get Hakan on here so bad.
Yeah, it looks like it might be possible. I don't know if, I forwarded an email that we got from
you. Yeah, I got it. I read it today. I got a special shout out for him. So.
Yeah, Hakan is fucking awesome. We were mispronouncing his name, but we're close. Yeah. other shout outs, of course, Buttercup gets one because he's back to work again.
Buttercup.
Yeah, his crew called him back and said, hey man, you need to come back and you need to do something. So that's good. I don't know as far as like his life and stuff goes if that's cleared up, but hey, it's Buttercup. He's great. He actually co-hosted the show once, for you people who might not know. Also other shout outs. I do want to give another shout out to Harry because last week's episode was wonderful.
Yeah, and for top 16, GP Montreal. Man.
You know it. You know it. He went up there and he fucking made himself some money.
top 16 out of 1600 is a big deal. I don't know either. You'll have to ask him, Angelo. The only way you could qualify for PT Atlanta at this point is, I know this is an edit for those who listened last week. We weren't sure if you could still qualify for the next PT. And in fact, you can't unless you get qualified as a silver level.
Yeah.
With your pro points. So this top 16 finish, I don't know if that.
I don't know. I'd have to look back and see, because you only get pro points for your best five GPs on a year, and they have to be top 64s before you even get points, I believe.
Well, this is definitely one of his top fives.
But this, I would have to look back and see, like, how many GPs he has actually in his stable right now, because, you know, it is what it is. Hopefully he can still qualify. That'd be great to see him down in Atlanta fucking representing, but.
I don't know. Did the top 16 for this one qualify? I don't know if.
Top 8.
No. Do either one of you know the cutoff for when the top 16
is? I believe it's 1800.
So yeah. It was close to.
Yeah. 1800 is like top 8. Anything below that is top 4. I believe, I'm not 100% sure. I'm sure the posse will call me out and tell me I'm an idiot, but I believe that's what it is.
Okay. I was wondering if Harry made the next, not Atlanta, but the following one based on
top Portland. Three. I don't know. And let's see, other shout outs. I'm going to give one again, and this is kind of a combo one because they made me come up with a rap, Brandon Defoe and Corey Brown. Because if you remember back ways back, Corey Brown came up with a sandwich that he called the, Nerd's Delight or something like that. And it was basically like a pork sausage stuffed with a kibasi stuffed with, you know, just all kinds of goodies. And it sounds like a kick ass sandwich. But, Defoe was like, man, someone should make a rap song about that. So, you know, I real quickly, and they, you know, it should be based off of like the old Rapper's Delight, you know. So I really quickly took the, I'm Imp the Dimp, the Lady's Pimp, and changed it to like, you know, I'm Imp the Pimp, the Lady's Gimp, and like did like a real quick rap for him. And you know what? That was fun. It's a nerd rap. I don't care. Dude, I used to do rap music. Remember that. but aside from that, I have no more shout outs. Tice. No, you know what? Brother Ryan. Give me your shout outs.
Yeah, let the best finish last.
That's what I was thinking.
Let Tice go. Shout out Randy Bueller, Pro Tour winner, Hall of Famer, the best comment ever, and just rubbins to Angelo during GP Montreal for, I wonder.
No, he didn't rub it in. Never mind. No. You say it's nothing but Voltron.
He said it so randomly that I almost wonder if a heads up at Watsy was like, damn it, Bueller. He just randomly out of nowhere, like during the middle of a match, was like, this whole format is just Voltron a guy.
He also said it was heroic and monstrous as well.
Oh man, that was just like, for some reason out of nowhere, it's just Bueller. This whole format's just Voltron a guy. Like, it's so fucking funny. Shout out to Ryan Tice, as we said, for coming on. Shout out to Hakan for an awesome email he sent with a lot of information on me for Scandinavia and stuff. I am kind of, me and Megan are looking at planning the trip. So, really awesome. The possibility of moving to Europe's on the table. So, that was awesome. What?
You'd leave America? This is the greatest country in the world. America.
Except when it comes to being enlightened.
Dude, it ain't my fault you decided to live in the middle of the fucking country. There's a reason we call them flyover states. to anybody who lives in flyover states, I want to put an asterisk next to that statement. I am not making fun of you. It's a joke. Okay?
Yeah, dude, I don't know. It's just, there's a lot to see out there. This is an anti shout out actually to Megan for fucking slow rolling me. F&M, of course, what happens first round? Who do I get paired with? Fucking Megan. She proceeds to beat the dog shit out of me 2-0. I mean, just housed me, dude, and she was running mono black, and I thought, Nia Hexproof, I'm like, oh dude, this game is a wrap. I got like a 70-30 match. That's like a 70-30 matchup for me.
Dude, yeah. That shit you not. One of these days, you're going to have to switch spots with her.
She's going to have to come on and do an episode.
Yeah, I mean, one of these days, you're just going to have to sit back and put her on the mic and let her talk.
Dude, like, what the fuck? So, like, game two, this is an anti-shot, because game two, she totally slow rolls me, right? She's like, this hand's all right or whatever, like... And she goes, Thoughtseize, Lifebane Zombie. And
yep.
I'm like, fuck.
Steal with it.
and then, dude, it just wasn't even close, man. It was fucking embarrassing. Like, and I never get this tilty. I actually, like, just got up and walked away from the table after the second match. I had to go smoke a cigarette. She was like,
man, you're such a dick. You won't even stay and, like, find out, you know, what you was thinking. Like, nothing like that.
I was just like, because it's a matchup, like, I thought there was no way. But I was mad because she slow rolls me, so I think I have the game in the bag. Anyways, because I had a hex-proofed up, or a aura'd up Witch Stalker. And we're pretty even, but I'm like, I got this, no problem. And she's kind of looking at, she draws her card, she's got two in hand, and she's kind of sitting there like,
I get the gist, Ryan. Move on.
Yeah, no, and so she slow rolled Devour Flesh.
Sweet. Like, any other shout outs or anti shout outs, bro?
Anti shout out to shit stores that don't want to pay like anywhere near what they should for your trade ins and your cards. Shout out Michael Parrish, I think, mentioned that again. Brought that up. I don't know if you saw that post on the page.
Yeah, about that is Michael Roderick.
Michael Rod, whatever, dude. That was some. That's a bullshit store. Fuck them, dude. You got a lot of posse members hollering at you. Put your shit up on the page, man. People there are interested. So if you got stuff, I don't know. I might be interested in a fetch land or two. I need to holler at you about that, actually. So yeah.
Okay, Tice, you got any shout outs, bro?
Honestly, not many. Just shout out to you guys for having me on. Shout out to the posse, and you know what? Shout out to Jim's, place where I play Magic. Always a good place.
Sweet.
There you go.
Contact. If somebody wanted to get a hold of you, bro, what would be the best way?
The Facebook page.
Seems good. Mr. Sex Panther there, asterisk himself. If someone wanted to get a hold of you, how would they do so?
Bro the Yan on Twitter, at Brother Ryan. Hit me up. And, of course, the Facebook page, no doubt.
Sweet. If you want to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me at GauntSuo on Twitter, also on MTGO. You can also get a hold of me at PitInPodcast@gmail.com. I occasionally write for Bro Deals, but you should still check their shit out regardless of whether I'm writing or not.
Same for Brainstorm Brewery. Shout out.
Yeah. Oh, you can also find our show on the Brainstorm Brewery, by the way. oops. Okay, so... Guys, next week we're going to go over SCG LA, GP Cincinnati, which will be standard, and GP Vienna, which will be limited. But until next week, guys.
Hey, fuck yeah, Scandinavia.
I guess he got nothing. Have a good one. Go fuck yourself.